Impactwrestling.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on the Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you The Rack, bringing you unique perspectives about the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
La cucaracha, la cucaracha, ya no puede caminar, porque no tiene, porque le falta una patita para caminar.
And TNA.
Konnichiwa! Watashi wa Kareman desu. King of Spice desu. Kobashi Kenta. Kitaka Aikuto. Onegai shimasu.
What? Ojigana Mata. How the hell do I know what he just said? What am I, a damn international translator?
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
Let me explain how this thing works. First, you become famous, and then I'll kick your ass. But until then, let's keep it strictly professional.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
So tell us, Kane, what makes you angry? Please, Kane, we're here to help. So maybe start from your childhood. Remember, sharing is caring.
Gangnam Style.
This is a bad idea.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles. Years ago, I had a girlfriend named Katie, but let's just say that that didn't turn out so well. My real father is a guy named Paul Bearer, who I recently trapped in a meat locker. I've been married and divorced. Broke up my ex-wife's wedding and tombstoned the priest, and for reasons never quite explained, I have an unhealthy obsession with torturing Pete Rose.
Oppa, Gangnam Style.
Oh. Okay.
Gangnam Style.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Oppa, Gangnam Style. Oh. Gangnam Style.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Oppa, Gangnam Style.
No!
Sexy lady.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Oppa, Gangnam Style.
No!
Sexy lady.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Okay.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack. That's a little Gangnam Style to open the show, which I'm sorry, I found that funny and I told Rock to play it. So if you hated it, well, do it. Too damn bad. Anyway, I'm, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me tonight is, of course, as always, my awesome producer, Sir Rockin.
Woohoo! I've heard a lot of Gangnam Style, or a lot this past week.
There was some on Impact tonight.
I heard.
And for his final appearance on the network, we're all very heartbroken, is, of course, Mace.
Oh, please, after the things that people have seen over the last 24 hours, most of you are going to be glad I'm gone.
But
and yes, I'm referring to the stuff that we were looking at on
the stream.
On the stream last night. Yeah.
If you didn't see it, consider yourself lucky.
And if you did, well, we're sorry.
We're trying to retain Dr. Shelby as we speak. Anyway, of course, we are also brought to you by PW Mania and, of course, tweakedaudio.com. Go ahead, go get some headphones and get tweaked. But, well, we've got a full show tonight, don't we?
We do. We have a full Impact edition of the show, full, you know, full of news and stuff.
We do. But first, before we get to the news and notes, what is our question of the night?
Our question of the night is, what three wrestlers would you take with you on a zombie apocalypse?
Ooh. And I hear we have a lot of responses for this.
Oh, yeah, we do. We have a lot. So we're going to get to them later in the program.
By the way, in the next probably 10 minutes, you're going to hear me either give a scream of defeat or a squee of joy, because the Atlanta Falcons are currently playing the New Orleans Saints, and they are up by 7 with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And they are in the red zone as we speak, so here's hoping they can score another touchdown and put this bitch to bed. Come on, Matt Ryan. Oh, wait, no. It's 4th and 8. Fuck, they're going to kick a field goal. It's not what I want you to do! Touchdowns! Anyway. So, for our first news story of the night. Let's see. Jim Cornette has gone on vacation permanently? Is this true?
This is true.
Those of you that haven't heard, the Wrestling Observer is reporting that Jim Cornette, of many, many fames, currently of Ring of Honor, is officially on sabbatical. Apparently, Cornette had a minor explosion at the last television tapings in Belle Vernon, Pennsylvania, and was not scheduled to attend the iPay-per-view on the 16th of December. Cornette is very frustrated with how some of the things have been going inside and outside the company, and has used wording that was described as being stronger than one would expect to get away with. Okay, number one, it's Jim Cornette. If profanity is not used, something's wrong.
Good point.
Have y'all seen the Dairy Queen video?
If you haven't, well, then you know, you better.
If you haven't seen the Dairy Queen video, then go watch him chasing the WrestleMania bus down probably Interstate 75 or 85. It's hilarious. And it's also Mace's intro for WTR.
Indeed. For a reason.
But yeah, apparently... but apparently, Jim Cornette is on his way out of Ring of Honor and could be for good. Cornette's either all the way in or all the way out, and right now it looks to be all the way out, because, you know, he got to that building that day and saw how it was set up for a TV taping, and he was having none of it. And that's where he started screaming and stuff. So, it's not good, not good days for Cornette. Apparently, his answering machine is full.
I'm not surprised.
Which means he's not answering a phone call from anybody.
Again, not surprised. Well, I mean, the report that we have is saying that he was burnt out, which I'm sure he was. Being a booker, being in any kind of creative, it will burn you out. So, you know, this will be a good thing and a bad thing for him. Hunter Delirious Johnson, just Delirious.
Yes.
Yay. Is going to be taking over ROH, so expect nobody to be speaking English after this.
Delirious has already started taking over, was already taking over Cornette's roles. And it was good. Field goal, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I saw.
So, it was just a matter of time before Jim Cornette was completely removed, and, well, this kind of helped it along.
But it kind of leads to an interesting question. Is Cornette now out because he's burned his bridge with Vince? He's burned his bridge with TNA? He's now in the process of burning his bridge with ROH, and that kind of just leaves him the indies.
And Ring of Honor isn't indie, just with TV, as they were talking about last night on Jaeger's. He might be. We might be seeing the end of Jim Cornette's run, except for special appearances.
Which would be a bad thing. I mean, you know, retire, move on, that kind of stuff, but I'd hate to see him go.
He's going to drive his wife crazy.
Oh my god, that poor woman.
Poor Stacy, she's going to be driven crazy by Jimmy. Ooh.
Oh, the poor thing. My sympathies and condolences to you.
Because he's going to be at home all the time. Oh man, that's, yeah.
But speaking of being driven crazy and things going absolutely nuts, WWE had a bit of a flood.
They did.
They did. They were taping this week either SmackDown or Raw. It looks like it was Main Event.
They were taping. It was at the SmackDown tapings.
They were at the building, taping Main Event, and, well, we're not entirely sure how it happened, but the sprinkler system decided it was going to go off in the middle of the show.
As they were taping Main Event, Lindsay will get into what JBL had to say about it, because he's the one who really broke the story. Apparently, you know, they were doing some sort of pre-tape, and the lights got too close to the sprinklers, and, well, shit started to flood.
Yep, and shall I read JBL's account?
You might as well, because it's a really interesting one.
Alright, so last night was almost a repeat. I was doing commentary, by the way, JBL. So I missed the exact facts of what happened, but here's what I know. I had finished Main Event, Miz was returning from the Middle East, so I was filling in and coming back to change my suit and tie to go back out for SmackDown. I see total chaos. Apparently Dave Kapoor, who is Great Khali's working quote-unquote brother, was filming a backstage segment and a light either burst or got too close to a sprinkler and set off the fire sprinklers in the dressing room I had my stuff in. The force of the water was unreal. Guys were trying to save our stuff in the dark. We all had computers closed, etc., and also trying to figure out a way to get the water off. The alarm had sounded, it looked like the filming of the sinking of the Titanic.
Ooh.
I'm in the room trying to get my extra suit and computer as my stuff is right under the sprinkler. Guys were helping me with flashlights in the darkness. The alarm was saying to evacuate the building. Triple H had left Gorilla and was directing guys to put towels down to keep the flooding in one area. It was a ton of water. Our whole crew was back there trying to figure out how to keep the water in one room. It was unreal seeing guys trying to stop something minor before it became something major. If all the sprinklers had come on, tons of stuff would have been ruined. Fortunately, it was only one dressing room.
Yeah, and Kapoor was soaked, and he smelled like horrible smelling water.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, they don't flush out sprinkler systems that often. They really don't. So the water that's in there, a lot of times has probably been in there since the building was put in.
Yeah. So, you know.
You can imagine.
You can just imagine what was actually happening that day, and well. Luckily, nothing really.
And the life rafts. Abandon ship.
Pretty much.
Well, it's kind of a apropos, did you think? Iceberg dead ahead! For WWE in some senses.
Good point.
And on TNA News, Turning Point drew an estimated 11,000 pay-per-view buys, which is higher than average for the show, so yay, go TNA.
Go TNA! Bring in those pay-per-view buy rates, because, well, Turning Point was actually a pretty good show.
Actually, it was a good show.
So, you know, good thing 11,000 people legally saw that pay-per-view.
Shh!
I didn't say anything.
Legal.
I didn't say anything.
We watched it legally. We swear. Oh, wow, this is a huge next story. TNA's doing lotteries?
Yeah, they're doing a lottery. Right? Yeah, they're basically doing a lottery game featuring guys like Kurt Angle, Sting, Jeff Hardy, Matt Morgan, and Bobby Roode. Yeah, it's
a way of James Storm?
Out of everyone, I'm surprised Matt Morgan's on it.
Well, who gives a fuck about Matt Mormon? I just want to know, where do I go buy my lottery ticket to win James Storm? That's all I want to know. I will drive to Idaho if I have to.
You can win the lottery, and you can win second chance prizes that include merchandise and trips where winners will be treated to a live TV taping of Impact Wrestling backstage tour and a chance to meet wrestling talent.
So I can kidnap him there. Very
yes,
good.
Yes, a contract for today prizes also can be created, with which the winner will be given the trip plus an on-camera cameo role to be included in an Impact Wrestling pay-per-view live show. So, go out and buy your Impact Wrestling lottery tickets coming soon.
I have to admit, it's creative.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a way to raise money, and I know a lot of people will go for it, so go TNA.
Yes, go TNA. Go TNA. Go out and buy tickets. It's good. It's kind of awesome that they're expanding, so it's another way to get their name out there.
Yeah, and you sound so thrilled about it.
Shut up. trying to put it over. Jesus.
I think it's awesome. The producer doesn't. It's my show, so my opinion counts. Ha!
Damn you.
Aren't you the guy that just doesn't do anything?
Yeah, I don't do anything. So I'll sit here and be quiet.
Oh, whatever. So, I have no transition for this. And it's the last, second to last story. But anyway, there's supposedly, not really, rumors of a fixed poll on Monday Night Raw.
No.
To which I say, if you all actually believe those polls are legit, I have a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you.
Aren't they legit? I mean, they should be up and up. They've always been up and up, it seems like.
It's wrestling. It's never legit.
But those Cyber Sunday polls were always legit, weren't they?
No, they were never legit, sweetheart.
No, no, no. You mean I spent all that time voting and it didn't matter?
Yeah, you spent all that time voting and it didn't matter.
Bastards.
I know. And what's interesting is the fans aren't the only ones calling shenanigans on this poll. No, no, it seems that Mr. No himself, Daniel Bryan, is calling bullshit on the bullshit poll. He went out to tweet, I smell corruption. This week, hashtag Daniel Bryan, 585 to 408 for WWE Kane. So, I don't know if this is a further storyline. I don't know if this is just Daniel Bryan being Daniel Bryan.
My guess is that we're going to get something's going to... Big play, by the way.
No.
Big play for the Falcons, it was.
Yes, it was a big play. It was a big catch.
Yes. I have a feeling it's going to be talked about on Monday, and we're going to get some sort of interaction between Kane and Daniel Bryan over it. Just call it a hunch.
Well, I can't tell if it's if they're in the process of starting to break them up, which I really hope they're not, or if this is going to lead to further counseling, or what the deal is. Like, this, I love this storyline, I love this pairing, but they really have no direction right now.
And that's what happens when one person gets hurt, and all your plans go out the window.
It's called You Have Other Tag Teams Besides Cody Rhodes and Damian Sandow.
Yeah, well, they have other tag teams, and they'll eventually use them, but right now it's using, you know, the other tag teams to, you know, in the background and job out to the Ryback.
Oh, my God. Yeah, way to kill your tag team division, WWE. Just saying.
Yeah, but there's no real, only thing else I can say other than, let the tag team survive, please.
At least let Anger Buddy survive. It's just too epic a pairing, and I'm going to cry when they break up. Although I hope they have multiple breakups where they split up, they miss each other, they come back together.
Couples counseling?
Yes, couples counseling. Yes! Yes, I want this now. Couples counseling with Kane and Daniel Bryan.
They lose the tag team titles, and then they go to couples counseling.
I love it!
WWE, you can... send the checks
this
way.
But you tackle him! Don't push him in the end zone, you dumbass! Sorry, continue.
Do they blow the whistle?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. Hold on, stand by. Something happened in the football game.
Timeout on the field.
Flag on the field. What?
Turner had the ball. He got...
Let's see. Did
Looks
he
like
get
they
stripped?
Stripped it away. He dropped the ball.
Okay. The question is, was his momentum stopped?
He looked pretty stopped, but the guy was still down. The guy that picked up the ball was still down.
But was the guy who picked up the ball touched? Basically, the caller looking at is, was the forward progress stopped? And if there was the whistle blown? If it was, Falcons keep the ball.
Oh, yeah, the guy that had the ball looks like he got touched. And, of course, I don't have him in fantasy. God damn it.
He was touched. Yeah, the shoulder of the one dude did touch him in the back.
So that means he's down.
So if anything, the ball is back at the 40-something.
Yeah. Well, they've still got to... They've got to score a touchdown and kick a field goal to win anyway, so...
Okay. But anyway, back to wrestling. We go.
Yes. Back to wrestling. Yes, there's going to be intermittent football talk. Just deal with it. For our final news segment of the evening, yes, it's been so stimulatingly exciting. WWE will be taping their tribute to the troops at the Scope Arena in Norfolk on December 9th. All the sailors and their families are going to get free tickets. Kid Rock, Flo Rida, and the Muppets will be there.
They're bringing back the Muppets. It's kind of awesome.
I know, and we're not going to get to see
Muppets.
It.
Muppets! Why won't we get to see it?
They don't air it on TV.
They air tribute to the troops on TV.
They do?
Yeah, every year for like the last 10 years.
Oh, where the hell have I been?
I don't know. You've never seen the tribute to the troops episode?
I've seen bits of it.
They air an hour version on NBC, and then there's going to be a 2-hour version on USA on a Wednesday.
Oh, I usually either have work or class on Wednesday, so that's probably why I never see it.
So yeah, we're gonna get a 2-hour version of Tribute to the Troops coming soon, which is always fun. The shows were better when they actually did them overseas.
Yeah.
Which created such a great atmosphere for the shows. But, you know, still going to be a fun 2-hour program we'll get to see coming up.
I don't think the military is going to let them go to Afghanistan. Or Libya or anywhere like that.
Yeah, the days of them going overseas are over with for now.
Oh, we got either a beanbag or we got a green something thrown by a ref.
That's to mark the spot. Okay, according to Mike Mayock, that beanbag represents fumble. This is what we can learn as we go along here on the show with, you know, announcers telling us things.
Yes. Welcome to Football Talk on the Rack, because this is what happens when the Falcons play, and I get to see it.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with that. We're allowed to experiment and bring other topics to the show.
Nope. But yes, anyway, tickets are available through the Navy Morale, Welfare, and Recreation offices, and they're being distributed in some commands starting around the 1st of December. Most of the WWE crew will be there, at least in Norfolk, on the 6th of December to tape events, and they're going to also do some anti-bullying rallies, so...
It's going to be an interesting time. Shows, like I said, are always fun to watch.
Yeah, the only one I've ever seen, or at least I've seen clips of, is... Well, that's not true. I've seen a couple of them, but... Was when they were over in Iraq, and it was one of the times Taker went.
Of course.
Shut up. And I remember him walking out, and it's like, oh my god, he's in the sun! He's going to catch on fire! Quick, somebody get him under the ring!
That's why Sheamus is never going over.
No, because if Sheamus went over, he would blind people. Like, I was stunned they put Sheamus on at WrestleMania in the daylight. Because at WrestleMania, he looked like 3 times as pasty as he normally does. Like, he was just white.
Alright.
In every sense of the word, he was white. Okay, what is the ruling?
Rule is fumble, but player was down by contact.
So, yay, no touchdown.
No touchdown, but they did fumble the ball.
Eh.
So now they have 233 to get 10 points.
Yeah.
Can they do it?
They better not.
But we'll find out if they can on the other side of this break.
Yes, so you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by TweakedAudio.com and PWMania.com, and we will be right back. Yeah.
Tuesday night, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey, everybody, this is Ed Spud. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey, everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insights from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Looking for some wrestle talk?
I wonder how many people we lost when we start talking hockey. Four. Fucking Canadians taking over. What the hell?
No, what's he doing? He doesn't work Saturdays.
Yeah, I'm not working. I'm having fun. This is me having fun. See, when I have fun and I'm loose and relaxed, you know.
You sound like you're having fun.
I sound like I'm having fun. And I don't sound like I'm intentionally making bad jokes so you guys can pick up.
Then step into the ring Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern for Wrestle Talk Radio.
Yes, tune in to listen to Tim Stein crack bad jokes and pretend he's funny. He's my neighbor. He's poor. He cannot afford that pot. He only has that pot now. No, that is girl's like pot. Go have a Coke and a smile.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gang bang or something. Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Why? Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It gets weirder. I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse you have. Not the pelvic thrust. What, Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know. That
800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweetAudio.com. And I'd like to send a special thanks to Drew Brees, who keeps handing the Falcons the ball.
What an eventful 4 minutes that was.
He's thrown 5 interceptions in this game. 5!
So, to catch people up, there was a... They fumbled the... was it an interception? Or a fumble, either something or other. where the Falcons got the ball, but they were called offside. So we come back, as we come back from the break, interception.
And I'm surprised they didn't get a call for pass interference on that. I'm really shocked. That was actually technically pass interference on Golston, and the refs didn't call it. But there was that one thing where, yeah, Breeze practically handed the ball to the defensive player. Like, he basically just tossed it up, yeah, and the guy ran up and took it.
Yeah, it was a bad screen play. That's what it was. Yeah, he tried throwing the screen, and the guy jumped up and caught it, and yeah.
So, Drew, do you feel like an ass yet saying that this division is owned by the Saints?
He will be, you know, regretting that comment tonight.
Yeah, just wondering.
So when Impact started, Lizzie was like, oh, God, I don't even want to watch the Louisville game. This is going to be horrible. Oh, my God. And, well, they won.
I don't know how they won, dude. Yes. Just to set this up for people who don't know, in case you didn't listen to whatever, didn't pay attention. Tonight on TV, the Louisville Cardinals were playing Rutgers for the Big East title. The Falcons are playing the Saints. And TNA Impact was on. And all three of these were on TV out here in Utah, which I never get Falcons games, I never get Louisville games, and I can get Impact whenever I want. So it's like crap. And of course, all three started at the same time, pretty much.
One started at 7:30, one started at 8, one started at what, 8:30?
Yeah.
So they were spread out a little bit.
They started within an hour of each other. It's shit. So I've been a little schizophrenic tonight as far as watching the shows, because, yeah, I've been trying to pay attention to football. And, yes, I did not want to watch Louisville in the first half because they stunk up the place.
But at the end of the day...
At the end of the day, in the 20 minutes when I turned off the game or so to concentrate on Impact because they were losing, they managed to score 14 points and win the game. I have no idea how the hell they did that.
See, I didn't see that either. So it was like... Wait, what? I flipped back. Wait, they're winning? What?
Yeah, I did. I flipped back. It's like, oh, let me see how bad Louisville's losing still. And it's like, wait, they're up by three? How the fuck did that?
Yeah, it's like, how the fuck did that happen? But they pulled it out, and now they share the Big East title, which, quite frankly, there's really no more Big East. Except everyone's leaving it.
Yeah. And it's an ugly title anyway, so.
And, I believe with this win for the Falcons in another 50-something seconds, they won the NFC South.
Yes, they have clinched the NFC South. Fuck you, Drew Brees. And...
So their next goal, which probably they can accomplish in a couple weeks, is home field advantage.
Yes. Oh, crap, they go on bye next week, don't they?
No.
Okay. But, yeah, they're going to have a first-round bye, is what they're going to have.
Yeah, they're going to have a first-round bye, which they need.
Which means I'm going to have to change my team. So, but yes, yay! Why the Falcons win 23-13 over New Orleans!
You don't have to change your team.
We got our game back!
But no, you don't have to change your fantasy team, because by then fantasy football's over.
Is it?
Yep, playoffs. You don't count playoffs in fantasy football.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, then never mind. I don't have to worry about it.
Never mind, then. For a team full of Falcons, you don't have to worry about it. The only problem is, you better hope they play in the final couple of weeks when it does count.
Yeah, they better play. They better make it to the Super Bowl. If they don't make it to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be very upset. And if they don't win the Super Bowl, I'm going to get on an airplane. Or drive. Probably drive.
Cheaper to drive.
Cheaper to drive, more feasible, I can sleep in the car. But anyway, before we put everybody to sleep, and Mace, let's talk about Impact.
I'm still here, you guys are talking football, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm still watching the guys running back and forth on the field, so the game's still going.
Game is
over.
The game's
still going for you?
I don't know, I might have missed the end of it without even looking.
They were
going to fucking know.
We were talking about it.
Yeah, they moved on to the next program, so.
Yeah. We were talking as they were just basically kneeling the ball for the last minute.
Yeah. They didn't play to the end. He took a knee at the end, which I kind of hate sometimes, but I'm okay with it here, because they won.
Because they won. But speaking of winning, let's talk about this edition of this edition of Impact, which had a winning opening segment.
The whole show was winning.
But I really enjoyed this opening segment.
Oh, it was great. It was a perfect way to start the show, especially coming off a holiday hangover.
Yes.
They picked, it's like they kind of didn't really do anything on the holiday, pretty much.
Except for the one angle.
Except for the one angle, and then they came back, and they came back really strong after Thanksgiving, which was exactly what they needed to do.
Yes.
To regain the audience, at least in my opinion. But tonight, Wes Briscoe's going to get his gut check. AJ Styles is going to continue to feud with the ring general himself, Christopher Daniels, and of course, well, there's the whole Brooke Hogan Bully Ray thing. Which is what opened the show!
It did.
There is absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, there's not. Really, there's nothing wrong with this romance angle whatsoever.
What'd you say about it, Mace?
Compared to the alternative that we have, which is AJ Lee, who still looks like a 12-year-old no matter how much she tries, and John Cena, who ends up looking like a kiddie fiddler, it's probably the better out of the two.
That's the way I've been putting it all week because of what you said on Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. When you take a look, we technically have here is two competing romance angles. And the one in TNA between Bully Ray and Brooke Hogan, with Hulk Hogan getting all angry and pissed off, is more realistic and believable than AJ trying to get with John Cena or not getting with John Cena because he doesn't want his personal life shown on television.
Yeah. He's so, chickening out.
Yes. So anyway, let's tell people what has happened in this one.
So anyway, so the show opens tonight with the Ultimate Champion, Hulk Hogan, coming down to the ring. He says that there's a bunch of energy in the Impact Zone because his worlds came together and almost self-imploded on him. He's the general manager, but he's also a father, and something is going on, and Hogan wants the truth. So what does he do? He calls out Bully Ray. Ray enters the ring, and Hogan asks him, "What's going on?" Bully brings up the lack of trust between the two. He feels like he's earned that trust, which he kind of has, just saying. Hogan tells him to cut the crap and give them the kiss and tell all between Brooke and Bully Ray. Bully Ray asks Hogan if he wants the answers. Does Hogan really want to know who the number one man in Brooke's life is?
That was a great line.
That was
a really good line.
Because we had admission in the second week. That was Bully Ray pretty much saying, "Yes, I'm fucking your daughter. Deal with it."
Yeah, and well, we'll let her continue, then I'll get my take.
Okay. This brings out Brooke Hogan. Hulk asks her what's going on. She says she's not 18 anymore, and Hulk says he doesn't care. He wants to know the truth. She says it's not what he thinks. Hulk says as long as he's on this planet, he doesn't want to see Brooke with another wrestler. And this, of course, cues up Austin Aries, who was absolutely amazing in this segment. He pops up on the video screen, and he's in Hulk Hogan's office, and with him are three X-Division wrestlers, Kenny King, Zima, Ion, and Kid Cash. Aries says he's not moving until Hogan takes care of business. Basically, he says he's going to lay down on Hulk's desk until Hulk gets back there, which is the greatest line of the night, because Aries says the desk is uncomfortable and asks Brooke how she does it every week.
That was the line of the night.
Yeah.
That was the line of the night.
Yeah. Continue.
And it was because of this line that Hulk runs to the back to go kill Aries.
All right. I wouldn't say he ran to the back.
He loped.
Yeah, okay. One, this angle's completely right out of Hogan is best. Just pointing that one out. Number two, this is not a romance angle. It's an angle between Hogan and Bully Ray, which is why it's so good.
Yes. Brooke is a background player. She's not the main focus.
She's the pawn in it, but she's not the focus. it's between the trust factor between Bully and Hogan, and that's what's going to make this storyline really work.
And it also gives an explanation as to why he has been seeking Hogan's approval and his trust these last few months.
Exactly.
Yep.
Interconnecting storylines. WWE, oh my, are you watching? Oh, wait, you are watching because you copy this shit anyway.
Even though they laugh it off and say they don't.
Yeah. Which is bullshit. We all know it is.
Yeah. Lies. All lies. But yeah, this was a fantastic way to open the show.
And Austin Aries is playing the perfect instigator role for this whole entire angle. Which is why it's also working. He's the little guy just, you know, poking around, bringing everything up.
He's that little mosquito that keeps flying near your ear.
Yep.
That pisses you off.
Pretty much.
Yep.
Because every time Hogan starts to talk business, Aries is trying to get the personal stuff, and every time Hogan's going the personal stuff, Austin Aries wants to talk business. So the focus is on the both sides, and he's playing them both perfectly. This is going to be the worst thing about leaving the network, is I won't have access to watch these shows live anymore. I have to wait till Saturdays to watch Impact.
Ooh.
But you get,
you
get a complete recap when you listen to the Rack.
Yeah.
Very true.
Except
I wouldn't be listening to the Rack until Mondays.
But you can listen to us on the TuneIn app from your phone.
They might have a bit of a problem with that at work.
Or you
But
can
it is a very good app and works very well, and people should be doing it already.
Yeah. Or you can listen to us on iTunes.
Yeah. You can.
After 2 years, we're finally on iTunes.
Shut up. I got it to work. Shut up. It's working.
And all it took was me nagging Rock to get him to do it.
Goes to show, when you nag somebody, you know, things get done. When we nag, it just, I'll look at it later.
It takes a woman's touch, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of a woman's touch, we have our opening contest of the evening. Mickey James, Gail Kim, one-on-one.
In a fantastic match.
Oh my god, actual women's wrestling on television.
How about that?
They must have known this was your last Impact.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know, if it was my last Impact, there would be some matches I'd be taking off this card.
Well, at least in this case they knew.
Yeah. In this case, they gave us a really good match between Gail and Mickey James, which, it's a no-brainer. Mickey James ended up hitting the Tornado DDT for the victory.
Yeah, this was very enjoyable to watch. Very enjoyable, even though I was looking back and forth, it was awesome to see.
As they build Mickey James back up, as she is the number one contender, I believe, for
Terrorist title.
Terrorist Knockout Championship.
And we got no Jesse this week.
Thank God.
Oh. Anyway, in the back, we have, of course, the man that makes my heart go a flutter, James Storm, telling the interviewer that every choice he's made is what he wanted. He says Rude brought his daughter into the equation and crossed the line. He continues to bemoan that until AJ Styles. Oh my God, Agent Coulson is on my TV. Hi, Agent Coulson. Anyway. AJ Styles steps in and says Storm is lying. Storm's bitter, and Storm tells AJ to stop concentrating on the past. Actually, I think that's AJ's bitter because he doesn't get a title shot for a year. Anyway, Storm tells AJ to stop concentrating on the past, that he needs to focus on the present because they have a tag team match tonight.
All right. Well, one thing it's not about this, it's about what happened last week. And it ties into what they're doing this week. If they're trying to build Styles as the guy who's down on his luck, why did he win a match last week?
It doesn't count because nobody watched last week.
Yeah, but he should have never won the match last week against Kazarian. I don't know. No one can do a losing streak angle correctly in wrestling. But that's just something I wanted to put out there. Cause
it was only done properly once, and that was with MVP, because the payoff was that when he finally got over and got a win, it was played upon and built upon.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to build a guy down on his luck, he shouldn't be winning matches. But, you know, there's nothing I could say about this segment, so I just, you know, threw a comment
out. It did what it needed to do. It showed that I don't think they're doing an AJ that he's on a losing streak.
But here's the thing. They're on the commentary, they're saying he's down on his luck and he's losing a lot. So, you know.
Yeah, but there's a difference between down on your luck and losing streak. I mean, down on your luck is, yeah, you lost a big match and now you don't get a title shot for a year. That's down on your luck.
Yeah, it's just the way they were playing it. Seems like he should be on the losing streak, because it would make more sense. If he's winning matches, it shouldn't be the first week, you know, after the big loss. It should have an impact. That's just, you know, my opinion.
Well, they could have him where he loses the big matches. I mean, he may lose against Daniels.
He should lose against Daniels, but we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. Pick him for the pay-per-view! Yeah!
Yeah!
Anyway.
Something I don't have to do anymore!
Yes!
No, you're still required to send in your picks.
Fuck off! My first week of work, I'm gonna be too busy.
Bullshit.
Fine, we'll pick for you.
Yeah, we'll pick for you.
Fine, but I instantly get all the winners.
No.
No, you don't.
We'll pick them live on this show. And then you'll just have to deal with it.
So anyway, what happened next?
So what happened next? The Hulkster finally reaches his office after about 20 minutes from the opening segment, which is about accurate. Hogan tells everybody to sit down as they all scatter and beg Hogan for his forgiveness. Hogan says Kenny King. Yes, Kenny King was there. Is up and coming, but he was hee-hee-hawing with Austin Aries. King says he made an impact when Hogan was out. Zema Ion gets up and says he was the greatest X Division champion ever, and then Kikash says that he started the division. They all list their traits and why they should get the title shot. Hogan basically tells Kenny King to fuck off, and so he's gone. So yay for a trip down to Orlando for nothing.
Yeah, pretty much. Anyway, so Kenny King is out. We're down with Zema, Austin Aries, and Kid Cash. Up next, Bobby Roode made his way to the ring and made a statement last week with his attack on Jeff Hardy. They showed the attack. Roode said Hardy almost lost to a rookie that he put down with one move. He said, "If you want to make an impact in this business, you called out someone like him, not Hardy," which brought out Christian York. Basically, York came in the ring, slapped by Roode. They brawled and took the mic and said, since Roode wanted someone to call him out, that's what he did. And, well, we got a match.
A really great match.
Yes, Bobby Roode took on Christian York.
And he picked
up the victory, and, yeah, they seem to really be high on Christian York.
Well, you were like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah. But at the same time, his gut check, like, wins his gut check thing, then goes straight on pretty much to a match against Jeff Hardy and really impresses. Then Bobby Roode the following week. This is like, you know, how long until we see a title on this guy?
The reason why they're trusting him in the ring with guys like Roode and Jeff Hardy, because he's been in the business so long. They know he can go.
Yeah, but he's still a new guy to a lot of the current TNA fans.
Right,
like,
right.
Those who were around the Nashville days remember he used to be on the show. But
yes, right. People who covered it people who covered it since day one would know who he is, but people like us kind of sort of forget that he was there, and then, well, now he's back. And he's jacked this time around.
Oh, yeah. Only thing, you know, it's he's the vet going for the last run for the last big chance. He's got something to prove. So I can see why they're doing this, and I don't really have a problem with it because they're trying to build him. They're trying to establish him. And he's someone that, you know, they can take right to the main event. You know, they don't have to send him down to OVW like they have everybody else. Right. And say, okay, you know, you need to be trained up. He already knows what he's doing, so basically they can just hit the ground running with him.
Right, and they know that his lifespan is not going to be long with the company. Well, just my guess. Because this initial run is going to wear off at some point.
I would guess his lifespan is probably going to be a couple years. Tops,
yeah. But he's going to have a good few months, and then it's going to slowly trickle down where he's back at a level where he's not with the main players any longer.
Yeah. By the way, if you want to give a grizzled vet some gut check, Cassidy Riley.
Where can you learn more about Cassidy Riley, Lindsay?
You can go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs. By the way, go buy his t-shirts.
Yeah! You're welcome.
Thank you. Because we're completely shameless.
Damn right.
Anyway, after the match, Rude won by the crossface, by the way. After the match, Rude held onto the crossface, refusing to let go. Brian Heppner almost disqualified him, but at the last second he did release York's face and he left the ring, only to grab a chair. Then he runs in and he chases Brian Heppner off and walks around York. And of course, Jeff Hardy comes out to make the save. He tried to hit the Twist of Fate on Rude, but Rude was able to get away and run off.
They're slow building the world title match, which means either this is going to be the first of many, or they really don't have an idea for this main event.
I would say they really don't have an idea for the main event.
Okay. It's just my feeling. They really haven't done much yet, and they have a week to go, so it's like,
a slow build on it isn't bad. I mean,
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just noticeable because it's not being positioned as a main event match at this point.
Well, this is the last pay-per-view of the year. It's kind of a throwaway, so it's just basically throw the match together, let it happen.
True.
This is probably the beginning of a series of matches between the two.
Right. That's what I'm figuring. We'll probably get them going into whatever the January pay-per-view is called.
Yeah, because I'm sure this will end in shenanigans. It may involve Christian York, and then Christian York may get involved in the feud, and we may get a three-way at some point.
We shall see.
Yeah, we shall.
After this, we have the Aces and Eights were talking in their clubhouse, and the VCP said one of them will face Kurt Angle next week, and that one would be... what's his name? The Doctor,
Doc.
Doctor of Chaos.
Chaos.
Yes, Chaos.
Affectionately known.
Steve.
Yes, affectionately known on the show as Steve.
Yes. So it will be Kurt Angle and Steve next week. And Devon was, you know, saying he's fine with that, but there's one thing he wanted. And that was his TV title back, since he never lost it. He looked intently into the camera and spoke to Hogan. He said he wants Samoa Joe next week, and if he gets his wish, then nobody will get hurt tonight. If not, well, all hell will break loose.
I wanted to see all hell break loose.
Or maybe he should have gotten off his slubby ass and done it a week ago on Open Fight Night.
Ooh.
He was busy.
Doing what?
Eating turkey.
Yes, eating turkey.
Yeah, fuck that.
No, they were busy injuring Eric Young, which we'll talk about later in the show.
Poor Eric. You hurt our EY, you bastards. Anyway, backstage, Bruce Pritchard, Taz, and Al Snow are talking earlier in the week about Wes Briscoe and his gut check. They basically go over Briscoe's highs and lows. Taz says that Kurt Angle's endorsement means a lot to him, and then we head into the break. When they came back, they were continuing to talk about Briscoe. And of course, they bring up the fact that Briscoe is the only gut check winner to win his match because he's a boss like that. And it was against Garrett Bischoff. And that, you know, Richard says there were a lot of positives, but there were a lot of negatives too, and they walk off. To which I say, he was wrestling Garrett fucking Bischoff.
There's your first negative.
And just, you put him against somebody good.
Just pointing that one out.
A better match.
We had Kurt Angle making one more plea for Wes Briscoe to Bruce Pritchard. Pritchard said he would take it under advisement. Then was speaking to D'Lo Brown, who said, well, where's Al Snow?
Uh-oh. The snowman's missing. Did the men in the white coats finally come get him?
They might have.
Damn indie bookings.
It gets you every time. But up next is our most favoritest of favorite people, your former World Tag Team Champions of the World. The ring general, Christopher Daniels and Kazarian, come down to the ring with a mic. Kaz says that
well,
it's
hold on, Bobby, before you continue, did you notice Daniels' new ring jacket?
Yes, I was going to get to that.
Okay.
Yeesh.
Sorry.
Anyway, since he got brought up, Christopher Daniels had a snazzy new general's jacket.
Yes. Yes, he did.
With ribbons and medals and everything, and it was awesome.
Yes, yes it was.
But Kaz says it's ironic James Storm is tagging with AJ Styles because he's sorry about AJ's damn luck. Kazarian says Daniels is going to beat Styles at the next pay-per-view, and Daniels will come out as the better man.
And then we got the tag team match. James Storm, AJ Styles taking on Bad Influences.
Not as good as the World Tag Team Champions
of
the World.
No, it doesn't flow off the tongue as well. No, and that's saying something when you have to say World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Yeah, it's Bad Influences, okay, I get it, I see it, I can totally understand it, but at the same time, it's like...
It's one of those... it works for them, I guess. But at the same time, the other name kind of worked better. But that's probably because they gave them a name, so they stay as a tag team, and it probably means they're not going for the titles right away.
They don't need a name. They're Daniels and Kazarian. They're that awesome that they don't need a name.
This is true, but apparently, it might have been their call. Who knows? And I have a feeling it probably was their call.
Yeah.
So, this was a really good match.
This is a fantastic match.
It ended up where Storm dragged Kaz away from the ring and hopped onto the apron. He tagged himself in blindly. After Styles missed the Pele kick, Daniels hooked up for the Angel's Wings, but Storm countered it into a last call super kick for the victory. After the match, AJ Styles left frustrated once again.
With Storm telling him he needed to get his head in the game.
Yes. Mace, what did you think about this match before we move on?
It was alright. This whole AJ being a loser deal, boring as batshit. Like you say, they need to look at the way that they're booking this and sort of go, well, he doesn't actually seem like a loser.
Alright. He's trying, but he's not doing a good job. He needs to really... If he's going to be down on his luck, he really needs to be down on his luck. And he needs to look the part. Got to get his tights, you know... Get his tights, you know... Never washes his tights,
No. You don't even need to do that. Have him miss a match.
Just not show up.
Yeah, and then have him, like, pull up as the match is about to start... And like bolting for the ring gets counted out.
Okay, that worked. That's clever.
You know, things like that. Have him lose via extremely silly means. You know, have him, you know, get hit with something that is so basic that he really should have seen it coming.
Right.
And then, you know, and have him lose that way.
if you're going to play the down on your luck card, you have to actually play it.
Right.
You know, there's many, like, even just having him lose his matches, straight out lose, that's enough to sell the angle. To have him on a team that wins, yet he's the one who didn't get the pinfall, oh boo-hoo.
I don't feel
sorry. You still won the fucking match.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him at all because of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe after the Daniels angle will start it. I mean, it could be that they're holding to really kick it off at the beginning of the year.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
But yeah, so interesting nonetheless.
Yes, but now, Lindsay, we have a big announcement.
We do?
Yes, we have a big announcement because we now.
Is somebody pregnant?
No one's pregnant.
Oh.
Lindsay Lohan's going back to Lindsay Lohan's going back to jail. Wait, everyone kind of saw that coming. No.
Oh wait, the sky is blue too.
Yeah, I know, right? No, we know where lockdown is going to be.
Ooh, where's it going to be?
It's going to be at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio.
Wow, that's a big building.
No Shawn Michaels, no interest.
Honestly, this is a huge building for them.
It's a ballsy move. In all honesty, it is a ballsy move.
I don't know how they can
considering that they've gone small arenas and they've had trouble filling them, and they've had to give away tickets and stuff like that, going to a big arena like that, they better be fucking sure of themselves.
It's a 70,000 seat stadium. Now, let's say they cut it in half and you go 30.
That's still a lot of tickets.
My gut tells me they might be able to get 5 in there.
I think they're coming off a high on Bound for Glory and the fact that Bound for Glory did so well in Phoenix. I think that's what it is.
Because they're going back to Texas. But even Bound for Glory did 2,900 people.
Yeah, that's...
And how many of those are paid versus papered?
I would say 2,000 were paid and 900 was papered. Something along those lines. I can't see them,
and
honestly.
And they're wanting to go to a 70,000-seat arena.
Yeah, I...
Yeah, this is a... This sounds like a bad business move.
This sounds like this is going to backfire bad. So either they've got a plan to go into this building, or their eyes are bigger than their stomach.
Right.
Well, even if they cut it in half, like you said, like Rock's saying, that only makes them look worse. The fact that they're going, oh, we're going to go to this big arena, this big seat arena, and we're going to cut it in half.
And even cutting
it straight away
half.
Makes them sound bad.
Yeah, because it's probably not the most cost-effective move, too. If you think about it, you're renting out an entire building that large, and you probably can't fill it at all.
Which means it's probably going to shove ticket prices up a lot higher than it should be.
Well, they said tickets start as low as $15. I don't get it. I don't get this move. I really don't. I'm going by Wikipedia as just, you know, the resource for everything. They say arena concert setup is center stage 33,000. You have an end stage at 30,000. You can get basketball down to 20,000 something, which can go up to 40. So that's probably the setup they're trying to go with is low at 20. But still,
when you're only pulling about 5,000 people into an arena, and then you go to a 20,000-seat arena, that's almost like going to Cowboy Stadium in Dallas.
Notable events that have been there include the 1997 Royal Rumble, which was 60,000 people. Now, I know a lot of that was papered towards the end, or really cheap tickets at the end, I remember hearing that they really papered that one to just fill it at that point. But, dude, this is ballsy by TNA.
I'll give you, to give you an idea of what it's like for us, like, most of our wrestling events here, like the WWE tours when they come down, are held in Rod Laver Arena. That's at least 40, 50,000 seats, right?
Mm-hmm.
That place is filled to the brim with people when the WWE comes through town. TNA came through here with the International Assault Tour many years ago. Their first tour, they probably did 4,000 people.
Wow.
The second tour, they were lucky to break 1,000. So the thing is, they're aiming way too high, and it's gonna destroy all the good that they have done this year.
The only thing I can hope is that they have a plan in some way, shape, or form. They have a plan to fill it, and hopefully it's not just, oh, let's give out tickets. I'm hoping, because lockdown is what, in the summer?
It's usually in April, but this year,
it's in March. So they're going before Mania.
Yeah, they're going a month before Mania.
How long between that Mania?
3-4 weeks. But they're different. They're still competing markets. Different markets.
It just sounds bad.
In
every which way.
Tickets go on sale next Friday. Starting at low as $15. I don't get it. I can understand going to San Antonio, and that's great, but the Alamo Dome?
I hope they make us eat our words. I hope they sell out that building, but my gut is telling me this is a bad move.
This is gonna be. By the way, lockdown's March 10th this year.
And when's Mania? August?
April...
Like 15th or 17th, something like that. It's late this year.
Then that gives them plenty of time between, to be honest.
WrestleMania 29 is April 7th, 2013. So basically a month.
Hmm.
I thought it was later than April 7th.
No. It's the second Sunday in April, I think it is. That's why it seems like later. No, it's the first. Well, it's the first Sunday, but it's the start of the second week in April.
Yeah, because usually they hold it around the 1st of April.
Yeah, usually April 1st, March 31st, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just. I hope, like May said, they make us hear our words, and I don't know.
Yeah, right now I've just got a real uneasy feeling about it. And for a show that it's not like WrestleMania where you can make the announcement, you know, right now and put the tickets on sale and people are going to go, holy crap, it's lockdown, I have to go. It doesn't have the mystique that WrestleMania does, unfortunately.
No, it doesn't. Austin, Texas. I don't know the difference, the distance between that and San Antonio. Do you know, Lindsay?
It's like 3 hours, 3 or 4 hours.
Then, starting on the 22nd, they're doing March Madness in Austin, Texas.
Ooh.
So it's like I don't know. I'm not sure. I like this decision, but TNA. I don't know. I hope it turns out better, but Alamo Dome. Whew.
Yeah.
By all logic, business and other, it doesn't sound like it should work.
No, it doesn't, but here's hoping they, you know, make us go, oh my god, they sold that out. Or at least sold out how many tickets they're planning on selling and make it look good. But if it's a big, if you're in a big arena and you're just using the lower ball, you could have gone somewhere else.
Yeah, that's a waste of money.
But we shall see.
We shall see. But next is, well...
As we completely sidetracked the show, by the way.
Yeah, minor discussion. Anyway, coming back to the show, Austin Aries, Kid Cash, and Zema Ion are all in the back of Hogan's office. Hogan says he needs someone to stir the place up. Zema Ion starts talking fast when Hogan takes, basically talking about Hogan knows best and that kind of crap. And Hogan tells him to stop kissing his ass. Kid Cash hypes the fact that he's a veteran, he's got experience, and he's got a pass with RVD, and he wants one last shot. Hogan says the two have a lot in common, but the only thing they have in common is the red and yellow on their shirts, which Cash was actually wearing purple.
Purple and gold, but whatever.
He's old.
Yeah.
Austin Aries says he is the great stick to stir up NCPAC, that Ion is a bi stick that we're not sure which side he goes on, and Cash is just, I forget what he said, an old stick?
Something like that.
But yes, Aries is the great stick that will stir it up. Hogan then doubly eliminates Ion and Cash, and Aries gets RVD for the X Division title.
Good main event coming up later in the show. After this, we had backstage Samoa Joe accept Devon's challenge for next week, basically. So we got Devon and Joe, which means no, you know, shenanigans tonight from the Aces and Eights.
Which kind of made me a little sad.
Well, given the way that it's been lately, a break is not such a bad thing every now and again. You don't have to have the storyline shoved in your face every week, no matter if you're enjoying it or not. A break off for 1 week or 2 weeks to let other people shine is, you know, good for business.
Oh, I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. It was kind of one of those things. It's like, oh, no more Aces and Eights tonight. Bummer. Sorry, I'm also used to the WWE concept of, oh, it's good, the people like it. Shove, 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 shove.
Good point.
or it's John Cena. Who gives a damn? Shove, 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 shove.
Speaking of shove, 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 our next matchup, Douglas Williams taking on Matt Morgan, who was introduced by Joey Ryan, and then Matt Morgan came out wearing gold tights.
Yeah, you're going to have to cover this one because this is where I changed the channel.
Matt Morgan wore gold tights and won his match. God, he shouldn't be wearing gold tights. I thought the white ones were bad.
I'll take your word for it.
Apparently
he still has the gold robe.
He's wearing the Hogan's gold robe to go, and now he has gold tights to go along with it. It's special.
Is it fabulous?
No, not really. No, I wouldn't even, no, that's an insult to them. No.
Anyway, moving on, Bruce Prichard then gets off the phone with Al Snow's wife, who doesn't know where he is either. What kind of wife are you? D'Lo Brown walks in and says...
Al's probably running around with Jim Cornette.
Probably.
They went fishing.
But speaking
of... niggas!
We have a phone call on the rack, don't we?
We have a spunk on the rack!
I would like to be on your rack.
I know you would like to be on my rack.
Just saying.
What's up, Smuggers?
Shit, I'm driving home from the restaurant where we eat after practice.
Woohoo!
How'd it go? I felt bad for my buddy Dan, I'm just saying.
Oh no.
He took the brunt of my bad day.
Oh.
Ooh, sorry, Dan. If you haven't been following along in the Adventures of Spug, check out the WWE 13 playthroughs we've talked about. The Adventures of Dan.
Dan, when I have a bad day, Dan kind of takes the brunt of it. And he saw my post. He didn't say anything about it, but he saw my post and well, we got to practice tonight. He goes, I'm going to have a rough one tonight, aren't I? I'm like, a little bit. And there's this one part of a spot we do where he's supposed to eat a clothesline, and he ended up eating a Stan Hansen lariat. And we went over that spot four times tonight, so he ended up eating four of them. I felt bad, so I bought him wings.
Aww.
To be told that your wife might die, not a good day.
No.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
Well, it's like a worst case scenario thing.
Right.
If for whatever reason that clot moves or pops and nobody catches it in time, she could bleed out, and you know.
Right.
So, that's the big worry, the big concern, and the thing right now is that we have to make it 6 weeks.
Right.
If we make it to 28 weeks. And the clot doesn't get any smaller, or the risk to her life gets bigger. At 28 weeks, with today's modern medicine and modern technology, the prenatal but the premature success rate at 28 weeks or beyond is like 75%,
which is good.
Which is really good.
Yeah.
So, and one of the specials we saw today was like, if we have to at 28 weeks, we can go in and take the baby here.
Right.
Because at children there in Akron, they have the NICU unit, the neonatal intensive care unit. They have everything that they need to save both mama and the baby. And I looked right at the doctor. I was like, if it comes down to it, it's her life. I will save her over the baby. You know why? I can always make a new one.
Yeah.
And the doctor looked at me like I was some morbid. I'm like, no.
No, no. That's the right attitude to have.
Yeah.
And I told my wife later on. I'm like, and this is sentimental, Spug. So play some sort of sad music here. I looked at my wife as we were walking out of the doctor. She goes, what's wrong? I'm like, if you died, I don't know what I would do without you.
Aww.
And she looked at me. I'm like, you don't understand. I would go crazy without you. I'm going to make myself cry again thinking about it. I don't know what I would do without that woman. 100%. So,
I will say this, as much as you had a lot of bad news, I swear to God, the description of your kid today was absolutely fucking awesome.
Sitting Indian style?
Yeah, I imagine your kid. You imagine your kid there with sitting Indian style with a little microphone demanding respect.
My kid's a prick. I've learned
just
this
like
already.
His dad.
He is, dude. Both the cardiologist and the other specialist confirmed that it was a boy, which made me happy.
Right.
But we're sitting there, and she would the one ultrasound technician would start to get a good look at his feet so she could tell if they were clubbed or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd move and pull them back Indian style, and I'm like, you son of a bitch. And the one time she's laying there in the chair, Christina goes, I have to pee really bad. And the other sounds special, like, I can't let you get up right now. And she's like, no, I have to go. So she scanned real quick to the kid's feet, and he's fucking kicking her in the bladder. Just repeatedly, like it's a double bass drum. I was like, oh, poor girl. I'm so sorry for you.
I swear to God, your kid's going to come out the cult of personality, dude. And then straight away put on a t-shirt. I'm a Paul Heyman baby.
Yes! That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Well, he's already got the tuxedo onesie, so he's fancy already.
No, dude, you need to, like, we need to get him a I'm a Paul Heyman baby onesie and get a picture of it and send it to Heyman on Twitter.
I totally would.
I think we can make that happen.
That'd be awesome.
I'm already looking.
That'd be so...
I think we can make one.
But newborn babies, I need to find somebody who can knit or crochet or something. Because I know, you know, like, my daughter had to have them, and I know most newborns do. They have to have the mittens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because their nails are razor sharp. And they'll, you know, cut themselves open. My daughter did it a couple of times. But we need to get like, white mittens and put them on his hands with red X's on them.
Yes!
I have a friend who is currently in the process of making an absolute metric shit ton of baby gear. I shall talk with her.
Awesome. That would be awesome. Yeah, I mean, like I said in my Facebook post, today's news is good and bad. To find out that there were no heart defects and they couldn't confirm nor deny the club foot, but to know that club foot is the most common birth defect and the most easily correctable without any long-term, you know, adult effects, I'm fine with.
Right.
I'm fine with it. I did not know this, though, that there are a couple of, like, the lady was telling me, she didn't give me names, but she's like, there's a couple of professional wrestlers who had club feet as babies.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay.
Interesting.
Like, okay. What's that?
Interesting.
Yeah. Professional athletes, actors, actresses, there's a ton of them. It's the most common, like, 1 in 4,000 it affects, or something like that. For honestly, as far as, like, a genetic birth defect goes, it's astronomical how many babies have it. And it's all corrected by their first birthday. So, I mean, to find out that that's on the large spectrum of things, everything is normal with the heart, there's nothing wrong, and that there's one birth defect that it possibly has is the most easily correctable, then I'm in. All I'm worried about is what the doctor told us at the end, because I do not, you know, want to have to go through that at all.
Right.
Well, I don't blame you there. So there's a CM Punk romper, and there's a Little Jimmy romper.
Fuck that. Romper. Romper room! By the way, I just want to say this, Miss Lindsay. Your Louisville Cardinals are lucky as shit right now.
Damn right they are. I thought they were going to lose.
Did you see the last play of the game?
Yes.
The ball. The ball they were throwing to Louisville.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Dude, the wide receiver looked back and went, like, pointed to the sideline because they had no timeout.
Mm-hmm.
He was running out routes to get to the sideline, and then fucking threw a go route. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
It's called Rutgers fucked up. That's what it is.
Well, I was sitting there in B-Dubs, and I watched that play happen, and I'm like, are you an idiot? Like, you are the most boneheaded person I have met. Like, motherfucker.
And what sealed it was the Rutgers player that they showed on the sideline, I think he was a defensive back or something like that, that started crying and covered his face with a towel when he realized they were going to lose.
Well, yeah, I mean, you had a good night. Your Louisville Cardinals won, and your Falcons won.
Yes, sir.
At least they were winning when I walked out of the bar, like, 23-7, or 23-10.
Yeah, they won. They beat the Aints. So they traded losses and victories with them. So, but
that seals the NFC South for them.
Yep, they've got it. which I'm sure makes Arthur football. Blank ecstatic.
Welcome to Football Talk on the Rack.
For the second time tonight.
Yeah, for the second time.
Sorry.
Dude, we were just going through the Impact, so it's all good.
But anything good happen tonight?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? Fill me in.
Where to start? We had a great opening segment between Hulk Hogan and Bully Ray. Where Austin Aries gave the line of the night.
Which was?
He was laying on Hogan's desk and he said it was uncomfortable and he asked how Brooke Hogan how she did it every week.
I wonder how much heat they got with the old man.
Oh, if you saw his reaction. Whew.
Oh, the old man was going to kill a bitch.
Yes!
We had women's wrestling on Impact tonight.
We did.
Good.
Great women's wrestling tonight.
Mickey James versus Gao Kim.
Oh, that is a good match.
And you would have liked it because Mickey's had a little junk in the trunk.
Mickey's always got a little bit of junk in the trunk.
Yeah, but it was showing tonight.
Was it? Damn it. That's why I like going to the gym on Tuesday morning. It's yoga morning. Soccer moms in yoga pants doing vinyasas. Awesome!
But picking up where we left off... Trying to transition into that. They still can't find Al Snow, so we were doing gut check with D'Lo Brown this week instead of Al Snow.
With D'Lo Brown?
D'Lo Brown, Bruce Pritchard, and Taz were the judges this week for gut check. The way they were playing this off, I don't know how you two saw it. I swore Bruce Pritchard was going to say no.
I'm not sure.
He forgot his script.
All I know is who the fuck can resist Wes Briscoe and his puppy dog eyes? Oh my god.
Apparently Lindsay's a little wet in the panties for him.
Dude, no, he started Pritchard said yes, Taz said no. And so they gave him the opportunity to do the kick out. So he gets on the mic and he starts talking and he talks about his family and his dad and everything. And then he starts to tear up and he looks up.
Jerry's his dad, right?
Yeah, Jerry's his dad. And he starts to tear up and he just looks up with these big blue, like wet eyes. And it's like, oh my god, dude, sell it. Sell it hard.
Go wipe, Lindsay. You're a little wet.
I can't help it. He's cute. What do you want from me?
Same reason I like Mickey James. Watch that ass shake.
By the way, Wes Briscoe is now a member of the Impact roster.
There you go.
Now into this whole thing. Shenanigans somewhere along the lines?
Maybe.
Somebody attack Al Snow so he wasn't going to be there?
Isn't the plan for Wes and Garrett to both be part of Aces and Mates?
Exactly. But now Wes is on the inside and has a contract. And D'Lo could be in cahoots with the Aces and Eights.
See, that's what I was thinking. They get rid of Snow, either Aces and Eights takes him, or they screw up his travel, or something like that. And so they pay off D'Lo, and D'Lo goes out there and says yes to get Wes in.
Yeah.
Because the payoff is going to be probably Angle versus Wes.
Right. Which Kurt Angle came out to celebrate with him after he won the contract.
I would like to see Wes and Garrett as a tag team.
We might get that, and they both might be in the Aces and Eights group as well.
Garrett's not bad. He really isn't.
He's okay, but the two of them should never wrestle each other.
Yeah.
That was bad.
But here's the thing. Like, he's not... Like, you look at a lot of second and third generations who are coming into the business now, mm-hmm. who only got in it because their old men were in it, and they're awful. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they're not good.
I agree.
Like, I love Ted DiBiase Sr. Junior really isn't that good.
Junior's he's got the look, he's got the build, he just doesn't have the charisma or the talent for it.
See, I think he has the talent. I think he has the heart and the drive. I don't think he has the charisma. And especially when you have the shoes of a Hall of Famer to fill, or you have the shoes of some of the most influential men in the business to fill, like, those are hard shoes to fill.
I agree.
I mean, you look at, perfect example, look at Dustin Rhodes. All Dustin ever wanted to do, and he said it on a number of occasions, was be his dad. And it took putting him in an androgynous, you know, gimmick with a gold suit to make him realize he didn't need to be that. And now Dustin is regarded as one of the smartest minds in the business. Because he took a gimmick he didn't want to do and got it over bigger than anything else he could have gotten over.
Right.
You know, I don't think Garrett's awful. I think he still needs some polishing and some work, but he's got a bright future.
I agree. He needs to work more in OVW, and he has a bright future ahead of him.
I mean, the guy that they brought in for Karen's boyfriend is fucking awful.
Yeah.
Fucking awful.
I know what helped Garrett a lot, and I wish they would have, and maybe it's still going on, is when he was working with D-Von. And that helped Garrett a tremendous amount.
Working with D-Von will help anyone. I mean, that's just the cold hard truth. Working with D-Von will help anyone. People may not realize it, but him and Bubba run that school in Florida, and the both of them are so smart when it comes to the bit, so smart. And I think D-Von has the patience to teach.
Yeah.
That's just how I see it.
Yeah, he does. You could tell he does.
I think Bubba's a prick.
But he's a good kisser.
How would you know, madam?
Because I've kissed him.
Have you really?
Yes.
In a romantic sense?
Yes.
I'm intrigued.
I will tell you more later.
Fair enough. I'll be home in an hour. Well, not that long. I'll be home in 15 minutes. I'm intrigued. And by the way, he doesn't have the best calves in professional wrestling. I do.
Well, I'd like to see you take that up with him.
I'm gonna take a picture of my calves and tweet them to him. Be like, these are the best calves in professional wrestling.
We'll see how that goes over.
And then we'll wait for you to get your ass handed to you, dude.
Oh, I doubt it. I think he'll realize it for what it is. I'll put a winky face on there. He'll know it's a joke. If I put two winky faces on there, though, that means I want to do him, and I got to refrain from that.
Anyway, moving right along.
Speaking of Bully Ray, that's our perfect transition. Hogan bumped into Bully Ray in the back. Ray asks if Aries offended Hogan, Brooke, and Ray. The answer to three is all yes. Ray wants to know why Hogan went to RVD instead of Bully Ray to get Aries' head kicked in. Ray says for the first time in Hogan's career, he's confusing business with personal. Hogan says it is Ray that is doing the confusing and storms off. And then, of course, we have the one, the only, the amazingly awesome ODB lamenting over EY's injuries and the fact that she couldn't find him and now she knows exactly where he is, like a good wife should. He's in the hospital.
Yeah, she was quite upset. She didn't want to talk about what happened to him last week on Impact.
What happened to him?
The Aces and Ace destroyed his ankle.
Yeah, they took the hammer to his ankle.
Basically, it's his...
Oh, so he's off filming.
No, his contract's up.
Yeah, he's done.
Is he?
Yeah.
You think he'll show up in the E?
I doubt it.
No, he's got a good gag on Animal Planet. I think he's going to focus on that. Because I imagine it pays better.
Man, I like him, though. Maybe he'll keep taking independent booking.
I would hope so. I would think he will. I think he'll probably do really well on the indie scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, backstage, Aries met up with Hogan. He told Hogan he planned for this to happen so he could get his X Division title back, and Hogan fell for it. Hogan said he wanted to thank Aries for opening his eyes. Then we got some audio problems. But basically, what was saying, Hogan closed by saying Aries was going to get his teeth knocked out by Rob Van Dam.
I know this is going to piss off Mason Omega, but I think Rob Van Dam jumped the shark.
You can't go like you used to, I'll give you that.
But in our main event...
What's that mean?
Go ahead, Mason.
He can't go like he used to.
No, he can't.
No.
He's not the big flash, he's not...
He's not the young spry chicken.
He's not as much of a draw as he used to be honest.
Yeah. He's not a young RVD. He's, what, in his 40s now?
All that weed's gotten to him. It's the only way he actually gets high anymore.
Oh.
Can't jump that much.
Oh. Anyway, our main event. Austin Aries, Rob Van Dam for the X Division title.
In a really good match. Very entertaining.
I enjoyed it.
I like how Aries is your former world champion. He's your former company's heavyweight champion, and now he's relegated to the mid-card again.
No, his plan was to win the X Division title back, hold it till next year to get his title shot back. Because if you hold it till Destination X, then you get an automatic world title shot. He had plans. But, go ahead.
It's just like, wow, it's extremely convoluted.
Yeah, I know. the finish of the match, you had Aries grab the mic, you know, talking about how RVD's laid on his back, just like Brooke Hogan. He was, she's breathing loud, and so is RVD. He said he was going to look like the new champion, and this brought out Bully Ray. Bully Ray went to attack Aries, and he did so. Aries started to escape. Then out came Hogan. He stared down Aries. Aries had nowhere to go between a rock and a hard place. And then he had a Bully Ray Hogan stare down to end the show.
So he was stuck between the second best cast in professional wrestling and Doc Ock.
Yes, pretty much. But while we have Spug here before we go to break, they're going to the Alamo Dome for lockdown.
They're going to the Alamo Dome?
Yeah.
How many does that seat?
At max, 70,000. You can whittle it down
the Alamo?
You can whittle it down to 20 to 30.
Are you sure it's 70,000?
Yeah.
I thought the Alamo Dome was small.
No. The Alamo Dome?
They're going to the Alamo Dome for lockdown.
Yeah, according to the promo ad tonight, Alamo Dome, it's what's on their website.
Are they out of their fucking mind?
We spent a long time saying, yeah, they're out of their mind.
Well, dude, You'd have to pull every TNA fan in the country just to fill that place.
No kidding.
Like, you're not... I almost went to the lockdown in Cincinnati a few years ago. I mean, it was 4 hours away, and they were giving away tickets. Giving away tickets.
I know.
So that didn't look bad on pay-per-view. And we're not talking like nosebleed seats. We're talking like they were giving away ringside and first row, 10-row seats to fill in for pay-per-view. They were upgrading people who were coming in so it didn't look bad on pay-per-view. And you're going to go to a 70,000 seat at max venue?
It doesn't make any business sense whatsoever. Just think about running out the place and you can't even use... You can only use a third of it at most.
Like Dixie really likes spending her daddy's money.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
But that's the most asinine thing I've ever heard. Ever. Like, you would have to pull, unless they know something that we as fans don't right now, and that's usually the case, but like, they would have to pull a couple of major names to get people interested in that pay-per-view, in that arena.
And it'd have to be advertised major names. None of this. They are going to show up unexpectedly during the show bullshit.
No.
They need more name value up front.
Oh God, they're gonna put Hogan in the ring.
The only way I can see them even getting remotely close to 20,000 people is if they make the impossible happen and cause hell to freeze over, and that's you get Shawn Michaels.
Never happen.
Never gonna happen. Never.
Like I said, it's the impossible. Hell's gonna freeze over before it happens, but that's the only way I can see them getting that many people, is if you book Shawn Michaels and you get him to show up.
Are there any major, and this is a, I'm being dead serious, are there any major stars with name value within the WWE whose contract is going to be up by that time that would allow them to show up at that pay-per-view?
And by the way, this year it's 10 April, like it's always full. Is it right now? You can't say, like...
For whatever reason, John Cena decides to leave the gravy train that is Vince McMahon.
Okay, if it's John Cena, yes, but I wasn't going on that level.
But that's what I'm talking about, by major fucking names. They're going to have to get The Rock, John Cena, CM Punk. They're going to have to get names like that to show up, to draw at minimum, 15,000 to 17,000 people.
Bound for Glory did 2,900, and that was mostly paid, but that was also papered.
Could you imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin rocking up?
That's the only that. He's the
that
only one.
That would never happen.
He's the only one.
I couldn't see it happening.
He's the only one without that contract. He has no ties to them.
He has no ties to WWE. He's done with all his WWE films commitments. Has been for a while. His name...
And it's Texas.
And it is Texas. And it's in San Antonio. Austin is probably one of... Austin, Michaels, and Cena. The Rock. And I hate to say it, another name that he wouldn't do it ever, but the other name that I could see drawing and generating that much interest to get fans there is The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's right behind Shawn Michaels in the impossible line.
I understand that. I understand that entirely. I'm not saying it would ever happen. I'm just listing off the names that would have to be there for it to happen. It would have to be your Rocks, Cena's, Michaels, Triple H, guys of that ilk.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta bring... if they're doing this event and it's lockdown, they gotta have the biggest name possible. And I don't, if you think about it, who's out there, there's no one.
I bet you they're still, I bet you they're still banking on Hogan's drawing power.
I'm with you there, because they're gonna, here's what they do. It's gonna be Hogan fights Bully Ray.
Now, alright, TNA has a long habit of drawing storylines out longer than they should. It's December. Does this have the legs? Does Bully Ray Hogan have the legs to make it to March?
Yes.
Hell no.
It could.
No.
It could. It really
this
could.
Is a two okay. month, this is a two. This is a 2-monther at best.
Yeah. This is. Bully Ray will end up fighting Hogan probably either in the January pay-per-view or the February pay-per-view. I don't see them making it to March.
The way they draw it out is he finally gains Hogan trust, and then he does something where he breaks Hogan's trust and does something with Brooke, and that's where you get to the big matchup.
Okay, but I see Hogan as more the heel and Bully is more the babyface here. Now I'm going to steal your role for a second, Rock, and say, I want to hear Mace and Lindsay first on why the. I want to hear Lindsay first, because it's her show, about why she thinks it doesn't have the legs to make the march.
Just the natural progression, you know, the fact that you sit there. You're saying the first match is in March, correct?
That's the blow off, yes.
The blow off is in March.
The blow off is in March?
You can
okay,
only do, you can only do, you
is...
can only do one match with Hogan. You can't do multiple matches.
You couldn't have him in a tag scenario where he doesn't, where he may come in for a hot tag and that's it.
I wouldn't even put him in for that. I really want it. But go ahead.
I mean, I don't see it lasting just from attention span where you have for 3 months or 4 months. Well, yeah, 4 months essentially at this point. You have Hogan and Bully trying to gain Hogan's trust. He's fucking Brooke supposedly. Hogan doesn't approve, and you drag that out for 4 months, and then you finally get the one match between Bully and Hogan, and it's 4 months later. It's kind of one of those things where it seems like it should happen sooner. The match should happen sooner. Now, you can do other things to the storyline afterwards if you want, but I don't see that match between the two lasting 4 months. It's a little ridiculous. At most, I see it a month or 2 months.
But it's TNA, and they know how to they're known for drawing out their storylines to make it fit. And moving lockdown up, I think, was kind of moving it up is significant.
Well, it was probably going to hit around the same time Mania was, and Lord knows you don't want to compete with Vince McMahon in WrestleMania.
Right. So them moving this pay-per-view up a month means that something's planned. Who knows what, though? That's the thing.
I think in today's day and age, though, you could compete with WrestleMania. Because we all know every year the numbers of WrestleMania is going to do great numbers because it's WrestleMania. It doesn't matter what match you put on the card.
Right.
So I think in a way, you could compete with WrestleMania. Not that you're going to draw what WrestleMania draws, but if you put your show earlier enough in the month or closer to Mania, you could probably catch a little bit of that Mania, you know, throw off in people who maybe see the commercial for the TNA pay-per-view and it's, you know, like back in the day when people, the only reason they knew professional wrestling is because that's what Hulk Hogan does.
Right.
So maybe they see, you know, they're watching WWE, you know, they're watching Mania, they're watching the pre-show, or they're, you know, how on pay-per-views you'll see commercials every once in a while at the beginning or the tail end for other products. Mm-hmm. Maybe they throw the TNA, you know, commercial in there, and people see it and go, "Hey, we just watched this. Maybe this is okay. Maybe you get a bump in numbers
from it, but I don't know.
What do you think? Well, you were talking. We'll get your opinion, Mace, on this. Why you don't think the storyline will work?
The only reason why I don't think this will work is because it's one of these angles where we've already been drip fed for the last couple of months. Okay, we've already gone through the bully Ray trying to gain Hogan's respect. He's gained the respect of everybody but Hogan.
Right.
And believe me, coming out and saying, "Yeah, I'm screwing your daughter. Deal with it," isn't exactly going to endear him to Hogan, which now puts them at odds.
Mm-hmm.
If you drip feed that, you get a month until you have to have some sort of confrontation. Two months is stretching it to the point where the crowd's going to start getting bored with it.
But at the same time,
take a look at once again. Take a look at your comparison. We've had a month of AJ versus AJ and Cena,
mm-hmm.
and it's been drip fed, and people are already boring of it.
Right, but
and yet,
go ahead.
Here it is. They've created such a hot angle that if you draw it out, the crowd's going to lose interest very quickly.
Right, but the way their TV is set up, they have the ability to draw it out. Just for a simple fact, they're taping at the end of the month for the final 2 weeks, so they can probably limit it there. And then they're going over to England, and there's going to be a couple of shows there which will be wrestling heavy. So you're able to draw things out a little bit. There's wiggle room they have.
I'll be honest, I just don't think that this has...
I know.
Like, it's going to be a good... Like, it's going to be a good ride for the next couple of months. After that, they're going to have to really watch what they do so it doesn't stagnate.
Right. But holy fuck, that was a long Impact review, Lindsay.
It was a long Impact review. Do we want to take a break, or do we just want to go straight into the discussion?
Let's take a quick, short break. Really quick break.
Okay.
So let's go to a quick break and come back. We have a tweet of the week as well.
Yes, we do. So we have tweet of the week. We have short break. And we have a couple discussions. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by PWMania.com and TweetsAudio.com. And we will be right back.
Has your weekly Monday Night Wrestling fix gone off the air? Don't fret. All you need to do is change the channel to the WTR Raw Post Show.
I'm sorry that I came out here last week and ruined your family portrait, made out with your daughter, implied that you had sex with a bunch of fat, hairy old men, then poured beer on your unconscious body with your illegitimate bastard midget son. My bad.
Tune in every Monday night at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time as we break down everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw.
What's up, Holmes? The champ is here.
Interact with us live every Monday night for the WTR Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Peace out, my brothers.
Hey, you.
Yes, you listening to WTR. You got an iPod, MP3 player, or some kind of Android device? Well, then why don't you go and get Tweaked? Tweaked Audio is high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds for simply awesome audio. There's four styles and six colors to choose from, so Tweaked Audio has a pair for everyone. You'll love the intense sound of all the Tweaked Audio products. They guarantee it. In fact, you get a lifetime limited warranty with all the shit they sell. Designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability. Get your buds in red, blue, green, black, silver, or wood. Okay, that's not really a color, but they look pretty f***ing sweet. Four styles to choose from. Tweaked California, Tweaked Classic, Tweaked Parkour, and Tweaked Natural. Tweaked Audio earbuds retail from $19.95 to $34.95, but they're giving WTR listeners a deal.
because Wild Talk Radio rules and our fans rock. Just use the special code Wild Talk or WTR. Get your butt starting at only $12.95. Head on over to tweakedaudio.com. Grab a pair. Get tweaked. Tweaked Audio.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're listening to five times NWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Scrap Daddy himself, Scrap Arnett Pierce, and this is the Wild Talk Radio Network.
To the rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by pwmania.com and tweetaudio.com. That's a lot of .coms.
Right here on wildtalkradio.com.
I said wildtalkradio.com.
Okay.
Check your hearing aid, Tim.
Fuck you.
Oh, come on. One of us had to do it. Oh, random. That light, string of lights came out on my tree. Cool. Anyway, tweet of the week, yes?
Yes.
Yay!
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, I know you have a bunch, Rock, so I'll let you go first.
We will start with one AJ Lee. She goes, my car horn has stopped working completely. I can only assume this is the work of an angry yet mechanically clever Cena fangirl. Hold on. Mini AJ comes complete with black nail polish, lightning bolt, necklace, chucks, and lifelong maternal abandonment issues. I could be wrong. Ricardo Rodriguez, when you look at penguins, you can't be mad at them. You can yell at them, but once they waddle away, you have to smile at them. And from Tommy Dreamer, in a scene right out of the movie, I pressed the water spray on the toilet. It went right up my butt. I jumped off the toilet and got sprayed right in the face.
Ow.
Yeah. So those are my tweets of the week.
Mace, do you have any?
I have one. It was only a retweet by Paul Heyman. I can't remember who originally wrote this, but it went along the lines of, I am going to go out and buy a new dog. I shall name him CM Pup, and I will buy him a t-shirt that says, I am a Paul Heyman dog.
That's awesome!
I want to see that t-shirt.
Yes, I do too. Anything with Paul Heyman on it, automatic win.
I still want the onesie.
Well, we can get that made.
I've been thinking about it the whole way home. I was like, it's awesome. It's a great idea.
You should tweet him.
You should tweet him and say, my kid is Indian style in my wife's belly. Can I have a Paul Heyman baby onesie? Anyway, I has two.
Okay.
From CM Punk. You always run away from fights because you're scared. And your is you are, by the way. That's why you hired at Heyman Hustle and now those three black men. Oh, come on. One is Samoan.
That's a good one.
And then, of course, Al Snow. I tried to change my password to Twilight, but there was an error saying it contained too many useless characters.
So true.
So true. So awesome. So, Spoke, do you have any tweets? I'm sorry.
I don't. I didn't realize this was a segment, or I would.
Yes, okay. we do Tweet of the Week on the show. We have a segment. How about that?
We're getting fancy.
I know. Apparently there's a official You Got Slap theme song dedicated to AJ.
There was a whole list on WWE.com.
No, she just tweeted out something. You Just Got Slapped theme song. She amazingly, I am clearly such a badass. So, check it out on her Twitter.
But after the show.
Wait till after we're off there.
Yeah. So, let's see. What topics do we have? So, actually, I have to pull my thing back up. Let's save the TNA one next week, and let's save the Rock one for next week. Because I kind of want to do it with Mason's Bug here, especially since this is Mason's last show.
It's fine. Your show. Let's go.
I'm curious, because I watched Raw this week like I always do, and one of the things I did semi-intentionally was I stayed off Twitter and Facebook as much as I could, because one of the things that annoys me about them is everybody's so negative on Twitter, and I found that staying off of both of them made the experience at least more enjoyable for me. So I'm kind of curious, is fan negativity contagious? We said this earlier that TNA will never get the props that they deserve because of preconceived notions of their product. So, is professional wrestling hurt itself, or are the fans hurting it by preconceived notions and negativity and that kind of thing?
This is as the host, you're supposed to pitch it to one of them.
Somebody talk.
What hurts professional wrestling is not... What hurts professional wrestling is what Jim Cornette calls as seen on TV. In that I could go to MCW, which is my home promotion, and then I could watch this show that they do there, and I can drive halfway across the country and go to independent promotion X in the middle of Colorado and find almost the exact same show. And the storylines may be different and the names may be different, but the matches are the same.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because everybody wants to emulate what they see on TV, and it's not... It's because they're trying to get the job and get noticed to get on TV. And it's not that there's anything wrong with it, but Jim Cornette, said it best, and I've heard several other people say it. You have to do something that makes you different. That's how you get noticed in the first place, is be different. So, okay. I don't know. It's not... What's hurting professional wrestling isn't a one thing or another. It's just a combination of factors.
But do you think fan negativity, if I can get it out, is contributing in any way? I mean, because we sit here and we watch Raw, and it's like we could, on some shows, we rip it apart. you know, for one reason or another, and then people hear that and they go, oh, well, Raw was shit, I'm not going to watch it.
You know what honestly I think has really hurt wrestling? Is not necessarily the fans, but us who get on the internet or get on a message board or have a microphone and find Ustream or JTV or something and think that in the large scheme of things that our opinion actually fucking matters. And that something will be done because we say it sucks.
Right.
I think the internet by and large has destroyed professional wrestling. Destroyed it.
Oh, I can see that.
Because there are far too many people who think that their opinion matters more than it actually does. And are all too quick to give it to you. And I'm not saying that I'm not one of those people, because I absolutely am.
I was waiting for you to bring that point up.
It's truly just destroyed pro wrestling. 100%. And as long as the internet exists, and as long as trolls and chat rooms, message boards, and you know, idiot radio hosts like myself think that people actually want to listen to them talk are around, then I don't think pro wrestling will ever go back to being what it was. Ever.
Okay. Mace, what are your thoughts on this?
Pretty much repeat everything this bug said in an Australian accent.
Aww.
He pretty much hit everything on the head, but it's not just professional wrestling that's taken this stance, especially with the internet. It's culture as a whole. We seem to be so much more prone to negativity now that we have something a lot like the message boards and everything. Because we have all that, we are more prone to lash out. We have the keyboard cowboy bravado that we can hide behind our keyboards. We can hide behind our monitors in a world of anonymity and constantly bitch without fear of reprisal.
Right.
Whereas before we had the internet and everything, the only way you could bitch was to probably bitch at the show, and if you got overheard, you promptly got your ass kicked. Or you were told to shut the fuck up, we've got your money anyway.
Yeah.
Or you could bitch in a magazine, but in an editorial you had to put, you know, your name to it.
Yeah. So we as a society, through the internet, have removed any notion of accountability.
Consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no consequence. There's no accountability. There's none of that. So everybody's felt free to bitch and complain about every single tiny, weeny little thing to the nth degree. And they can get away with it. And then, of course, as the internet has grown and evolved as it has, we have things such as these internet radio shows. You know, we ourselves are a bigger part of the problem than just the people on the message board.
Right.
Because we believe that by putting on a show such as this, that we have this self-inflated ego that what we say matters because we've decided to create an entertainment medium based around it.
I can see that.
Basically, in the end, like to go back to the original point of the topic, yes, Twitter, where we can live in the 5-second news cycle, instant reaction world, if someone is negative, that negativity will flow. It will contract. It will become a virus. It will spread from one person to another. And it becomes harder and harder when the majority have a negative view of one thing to be that positive minority. And that's the reason why once people have become so ingrained in one particular mindset that things like what's happening with TNA is happening. They have good storylines. They have really good wrestling, but people have this preconceived notion that TNA is shit, and they don't want to give that up.
Right.
Because if they're not complaining about it, then they're not obviously getting the attention that they as a person want.
And the same also goes true for WWE and
yes.
ROH and really any promotion out there. I mean, people just bitch sometimes just to bitch. In Rock, do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you not have a...
Since I have now the platform to make my opinion heard because to boost my own ego on the internet with an internet radio show and stuff. Yeah, negativity, once you hear it goes both ways. Positivity and negativity goes both ways in this whole matter. If a lot of people are positive, you kind of let go and, well, that was good. You go along with the flow. Same with negative. That was, one person says bad, two people, you go, yeah, that was bad. It's a go with the flow mentality, and that's what, you know, Mace was saying about the preconceived notions about TNA. For the longest time, that was the thing to do, was bash TNA. And people still
Yeah, but you got to admit, alright, here's the thing. If we're going to keep talking about the, you know, bashing TNA. For a very long time, TNA deserved it.
There was a period of time where they deserved it, because their storylines were crap.
Their storylines are still crap. They're just told better, though.
Well, all wrestling storylines are, you know,
but
are crap.
In the same vein, Spug, name me something that hasn't gone through a crap period.
I'm not saying that. Like, I'm not bashing TNA at all.
I know this, but I'm just saying that. Yeah, you know, there are things where every point, whether it be a TV series, movie series, a movie itself, always has a lull. There's always going to be that bad point.
I can name something, sir, that's never gone through a crap period. Ever.
If you say you're a dick, I would not validate that in any way, shape, or form.
No. Chicken wings, sir. Chicken wings.
Oh, chicken wings have gone through a lull.
Yeah, I've had some pretty bad chicken wings. But you're that's also the other fact that...
Place.
Well, obviously, because I'm in Australia and you're in America, there's a bit of a gap. but that being said, the other point that comes out of all this is personal opinion.
Right.
Everybody has their own personal opinion, and they will loudly boast it as much as they like, because, again, no accountability.
Again, the other thing never gone through a crap period, Mel Brooks movies.
Oh, he's had a few stinkers.
Yeah.
Now name me one.
Let's turn to our Mel Brooks expert now joining us on the line, the Omega.
Spaceballs cartoon sucked.
I didn't know they made a Spaceballs cartoon.
It's abysmal, dude.
Is it really that bad?
It's roasted shit on a stick.
Aww.
Mega fails, never fails to let me down. He always has something to say. It's awesome. He's full of knowledge.
This is a Mel Brooks fan and a cartoon buff telling you the cartoon sucked.
I never knew that they made a Mel a Spaceballs cartoon.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason for that.
That's awesome.
So you heard us last night mention the topic of negativity. You actually spawned how to phrase the question, so we'll throw it back to you. What do you think?
I want to say negativity shouldn't be contagious, but then again, I know how easy it gets. People get caught up in pressure, peer pressure, and the spur of the moment, that type of thing. Where you watch something, someone goes, "Oh, that sucks," and you go, "Maybe that did suck."
Right.
Like, it gets you thinking more than, like, just instinctively, you start thinking about it, and it's like, and you start analyzing. And that's one reason why negativity gets contagious, is because when your brain is forced to reanalyze something, it's gonna catch more flaws. It's gonna notice more things that irritate it. you know, that's what, you know, that's the whole point of why overanalyzing things is generally bad. It's because you're going to get wrapped up in the things that you're starting to nitpick, and all of a sudden what you went into just liking when you weren't thinking about it now was just, you know, borderline unwatchable.
How much do you think of that as sheep mentality versus just personal opinion?
I think some of it is sheep mentality. Especially these days on Twitter when everyone is connected and you have a hive mind going to begin with. You know, but the people who have, you know, people who are opinionated are going to be opinionated. And I think one thing about negativity is that people who are upset and pissed off are a lot more vocal than the people who are content and happy. So it's not just the fact that it's contagious. You generally see a lot more public negativity to things, like, you know, especially in something like wrestling, where, you know, personal preference is all over the place. And I know that as a reviewer, I see so much more negativity than anything else.
Right, because that's the only thing people can voice, that they know that will get the reaction. If you go out, yeah, go out on the Twitters or the message boards or whatever, negativity draws.
Yeah, who listens to a guy going, "I'm perfectly happy about this and I have nothing to say"?
No, see, we all tuned into your negative review.
Exactly. Exactly. I posted two videos the same day. One is the good, one is the bad. The bad, it takes a lot more of your life to go through. But you know what? Way more people watched it for the day and a half it was up.
I like to point out I watched both.
So did I.
Thank you.
The bad was better.
It was. And it was longer, too.
I know it was longer. It was a lot more bad.
It was a 45-minute rant. I can't emphasize how awesome this was. It's him going off for 45 minutes. We never get him going off for 45 minutes.
Take me to a
bad
anime.
That's what she
says. But I'm fucking slow.
As you were saying, Omega.
It's all right. Well, I'll throw it to you, Rock. What do you think?
I gave my opinion already.
Did you?
Yes. Thank you for paying attention. So we'll
Sorry.
Throw it back, we'll throw it back at you. Since this was your topic idea, what do you think?
I'd have to agree with everything that's been said. I mean, I think...
So you're
she's
just
giving
going,
in to peer pressure.
She's going along with the crowd.
I'm going to be the sheep.
Hive mind, Twitter.
It's like I said, watching Raw was way more enjoyable staying off the Twitters and the Facebooks. And it's like I go out there and I read what people say. And it's not even that they're bitching about something they don't like. It's they're being negative or they're being even to the point of hateful just to do it.
Right. There's a point where, okay, we all know something turns out bad, but then it's to really nitpick at something that wasn't really that bad, but to turn it negative. And that's what really is the killer.
I mean, it's when you sit there and you read, oh, this bitch needs to die, or, you know, something like that. it kind of kills the experience. It's like, really? I mean, seriously?
Let me put it to you this way. Take a look at last Sunday night on WTR. We had the instant opinion during Buy or Sell on this Bully Ray Brooke Hogan angle that it was shit. Horrible. Bad idea. Bad booking. Right?
Right.
Tim was cussing that out from the first second he heard the first word. Yet, here it is. I came out with a well-presented argument in the positive that got him to change his mind. So maybe as much as we are focusing on the negative side of things, sometimes, on the rare occasion, the same powers can be used for good as well as evil.
It can. It really can.
Absolutely, I agree.
that's another reason why negativity tends to be sheepish, is because it's so easy to be pissed off and upset over things. It takes someone very rational and logical to turn someone's negativity around.
Wait,
thank
wait,
you for the compliment.
Wait, you just called him rational and logical? What?
You're trying to send him off with a big head, aren't you?
Gotta do something to get him back.
What, no, that's what she said from Spug? I'm shocked.
No. Nope.
Wasn't feeling it.
Not on that one, I wasn't.
Well, I think we've subsequently beaten this one to death.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
And all applied for our minors in minor PhDs in psychology.
Yeah. Send the diplomas too.
So let's move on to the question of the night.
And what was our question of the night?
What three wrestlers, and you can take anybody, would you take into the zombie apocalypse?
So, I guess I should go through this whole list, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
First up, Mickie James, Eve, and Zach Gowen.
Zach Gowen, what the fuck?
He's got less to grab onto.
Yeah, pretty much, use Zach Gowen as bait, and you run off with the two girls to repopulate the planet.
Okay, fair enough.
Kurt Angle, Steve Blackman, and Brock Lesnar.
Okay.
AJ Lee, Layla, and Eve, unless for defense. Useless for defense, but if I'm going to die, it's while I'm entangled with those divas. We have a Mr. Anderson, Undertaker, and Mankind.
Okay.
Raven, Abyss, and John Cena as bait. Johnny Gargano, Gregory Iron, and The Miz. That's a really odd combination of three people.
Yeah.
Sin Cara, need botch bait. Mark Henry, for unmeasurable protection, and I guess I need a girl to split sideways and plow. Caitlin.
Spug, did you write that one?
No.
You have Chris Jericho, The Rock, and Kelly Kelly. Rocky and Jericho could entertain with awesome promos, and Double K as a human shield, because I don't think zombies eat plastic. This person says, just one, the ECW zombie, so you can get me in tight with the zombie click, thereby allowing me to be exempt from being killed and eaten. The Undertaker, the Dead Man, Triple H, Sledgehammer, Beth Phoenix, personal reasons. Hacksaw Jim Duggan, because he carries a big stick. Alberto Del Rio, so he can ride around killing zombies in style. And the Bellas, to give us Roadhead while we drive around in style killing zombies with a big stick. CM Punk, Triple H, and Layla. Punk because he's a zombie expert. Layla so me and her can repopulate a lot. And Triple H because if the zombies get to over, he'll bury them.
Nice, well played.
I like that.
Undertaker, Kane, and Lita. Undertaker.
Zombies are already infected enough.
Undertaker, Kane, and CM Punk. Apparently it's got a new one, so let's refresh. Punk, Wade Barrett, and Natalya. Undertaker, he is already dead, so if he's bit, still has my back. Kevin Nash, big muscle backing guy. And I wouldn't have to outrun the zombies, just him. And Trish Stratus, because when this all blows over, we would need to repopulate. Kane, from 1998, Hulk Hogan, Goldberg. They would no-sell everything like they did and force the zombies to drop to them, especially Hogan. The Road Warriors and The Undertaker.
I like to point out before he continues, I like how everybody's putting Taker, but how sure are you he's not behind the zombie apocalypse? He could be their leader.
This is a valid point.
Homicide, Suicide, and Relic.
Oh!
There's a Relic.
Fake reference.
Wow.
Oh, jeez.
Because you gotta remember, that's killer spelled backwards. As they like to point out repeatedly.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah, but that was a TNA gimmick. Hollywood.
Thank you, TNA.
Which one was Relic again? Relic was Kazarian, wasn't it?
No. Who the fuck was the... I don't think it was Kazarian.
Was it Divine?
No, it wasn't Divine. Relic was...
Relic was his own thing. You're thinking, like...
No, like it was Johnny Stamboli. It was Johnny Stamboli.
It's Johnny Stamboli? Okay.
Or Johnny the Mole. He was Relic Killer, spelled backwards. Where were we? Kane, John Cena, and Brock Lesnar. Simple as that. Austin, Big Show, and maybe Ryback to throw as bait. CM Punk, you know he won't be getting drunk and cause problems. 2, Daniel Bryan, he's a vegan. If infected, will eat trees.
That's awesome logic!
And he can make vest out of his own hair. And Brock Lesnar, he is a hunter, and he has he's the size of a tree, so let him kill some zombies. Here we go. Assuming they were all in their prime, Austin, Bad News Brown, and New Jack. Sandman, yeah, I said it, Goldberg, and Bruiser Brody. We have Stone Cold, Goldberg, and RVD. Innovative, creative, badass, and athletic. Stone Cold and Andre the Giant. And Matthew Forsina goes Terror, Trish, and Aja Kong. 2 to repopulate, 1 to hide behind. And there you go.
Wow, we got a lot of really good answers. Bravo. So
I definitely like that Daniel Bryan logic.
That was clever.
Yeah. Who said that?
Who sent that? And can we send them a prize?
We don't have anything in the prize vault right now. That was Daniel Moore. He posted that on the Kayfabe Wrestling Radio page.
Daniel Moore, you get a cookie. That was awesome.
We will have to find a prize for this, man.
My bad. Darren Moore was his name. My bad.
Darren Moore. I'm sorry. Darren Moore, you get a cookie.
Lindsay will bake you a cookie and send it to you.
Please allow 4 to 6 years for delivery.
The Tim Stein logic.
Yes, Tim Stein logic. And I swear to God, I'm going to the post office this week.
Yes.
Tomorrow, probably. So, I will let, since it's his last night, I will let Mace go first.
Alright. We shall start out this team with Shawn Michaels. Guy's a hunter, proficient with firearms and knives. He will make it a bit easier to get away from the zombies. I will also take along JBL, because I want to see what happens when he is allowed to be unrestricted with his clotheslines. I want to see if he can actually take someone's fucking head off.
Yeah, if things get really bad, he can climb a mountain.
Exactly. He's a survivalist.
And he can rebuild the economy.
That too. And to be honest, I'd probably take along AJ Lee. Nerdy girl who knows about zombies from playing video games. Maybe we could teach her how to use a firearm. If not, fine, throw her a bait and humanity dies. Bitch gotta learn how to pull her weight. Hey, I've played enough Left 4 Dead knowing if you can't handle a fucking firearm or at least some sort of melee weapon, fuck you, you're dead.
So that's what happened to Spug.
No.
Or a gnome, yeah.
But you're going to repopulate with her first, right?
Attempt to.
Okay. All right. Spug.
Yes.
Who would you take into the zombie apocalypse with you?
Oh. CM Punk. AJ. And Christopher Daniels.
Okay, interesting mix.
CM Punk can provide the witty quips. I can at least get laid before I die while drinking an Appletini from Christopher Daniels.
Yes!
You knew the Appletini would have to play some role in survival.
He's priorities.
I didn't see him with one tonight. Shame on him.
He didn't have an Appletini.
Shame on him.
Boo! Booerns!
Hey, he only promised it on kayfabe, so it's not like it count.
Ouch, dude, ouch!
Wow! Fuck you!
Alright, Omega.
I want to take Sandman for proficiency in melee weapons as well as experience eliminating zombies. I want to take Sean, as May said, proficient with firearms. He's on TV, so obviously he's the best one there is. And should, even if he runs out of ammo, I'm sure he can kick a few heads off. And now I'm torn between I want to either take Triple H for ability to summon sledgehammers at any opportunity.
Okay, or
Hulk Hogan, because I don't think there's anything left that a zombie is going to want to eat on it.
But other than that, he's pretty useless, isn't he?
That's the thing. Like, even if it's a geriatric guy, you know, all you do here, Hogan. Okay, take this handgun, saunter around, because I know your top speed is saunter. And just shoot anything that looks half dead. Just don't look in a mirror. That's the only thing with that rule. Because as long as he's shooting in the direction of zombies, you know, between skin of Naugahyde, all of his artificial parts, and we know he lost his mind years ago, I don't think there's anything left that a zombie is going to want to eat. I think it might, it probably doesn't even trigger on their radar. Like, they might as well be passing a telephone booth.
Yeah, because to his point, you know his muscles are made out of roids at this stage.
What's left of them, yeah.
Yeah, what's left of them. It's just they're all chemically filled. I don't know, dude. I'd take Triple H.
The ability to summon sledgehammers, especially when you have two guys who can also do melee focus, is pretty good.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. He and Sean can provide the comic relief.
Levity. I like this in a zombie apocalypse.
Just imagine. See, DX in the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you know what makes Armageddon better? Dick jokes.
And shilling lots and lots of merchandise.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of shilling,
mind you, I'm surprised nobody has said this one for Kane. His ability to summon fire out of nowhere.
Well, you didn't let Lindsay go.
Yeah. Thanks.
Oh, look, we already know that the first two are going to be Undertaker and Kane. It's got nothing to do with their abilities.
No.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Rock. Go.
Stone Cold, because, you know, the badass hunter. Mark Henry, because he'll eat anything. And I like the Daniel Bryan reason the other guy gave. That swayed me to use Daniel Bryan.
Alright. Kane, because he's proficient with firearms.
Firearms.
Is that a pun?
No, it's not. He's good with a gun.
That's what she said.
Waiting for it. HBK, because he's a proficient hunter. And Storm, for personal reasons.
About to bow wow.
So yeah, that was our question tonight. Got a lot of great responses tonight.
We did.
Now, only if somebody could go and start making these as mods for Left 4 Dead 2.
Yes, we need a DX mod for Left 4 Dead 2. Somebody get on it.
I nominate Omega.
What?
Nothing.
Rock.
Nothing.
Rock.
So, Lindsay, what's bugging you this week?
Rock!
She says your hair looks nice, dear. Shut the fuck up.
He'll come to bed.
I haven't washed it in days. Jeez.
He'll be in bed in a minute, dear. Hold on. What's bugging me this week is the fact that people who use public restrooms and don't flush the toilet need to be smacked. It's a disgusting habit. I hate when people do that, and the fact that when I get a break from class and I get to run out and every single stall is like that is just gross, y'all. So if you know people that do that, fix it. I really don't want to have to run for president to fix this. Because that would be my platform.
That would be an interesting platform to run on.
And you'd probably do better than both Romney and Obama.
Probably, yeah.
Shut up, Ozzy. You don't have to deal with this shit.
By the way, we have a late entry. Bo, Larry, and Curly.
The Three Stooges? Okay.
So they want to use the Mean Street Posse?
Who put that?
Diane Haar. She just posted it on the Facebooks.
I think she's counting on accidental kills, usually involving 2x4 swinging behind them.
I don't want to know why 5 wrestlers are standing over a dead gobbledygooker and Hornswoggle is in between the legs.
I want to know. When did this happen?
It's the picture that Rock posted in the chat.
I know. When did it happen?
I don't know.
I think it happened on Santino's show.
Get that suit out of mothballs just for that shot.
I love them
for it.
I think so. And we'll have to check the YouTubes after the show.
Yeah, but on that note, I
wonder
think
what
we're
they
going
used for stuffing.
I don't want to know, dude.
Why is Yoshitatsu going to go at? Why is he going at this with chopsticks?
Because he's Japanese.
You tell me. Chopsticks don't work that way.
He's going to stab and poke his way through the gobbledygooker.
You can't take a turkey leg off with chopsticks.
Have you tried?
Yes.
All right.
You make a lot of holes, but you don't really get any progress.
That's what she said.
That doesn't even make sense.
All right, Spog, pimp your shit.
What? No, what's bugging everybody else?
Yeah, I know, right?
Lindsay's, what's bugging Lindsay? Jeez.
Yeah.
Fine, what is bugging everybody else?
Getting skipped.
Mace leaving. And Comcast. Fuck you, Comcast.
No sex until June.
See, I'm just pissed that Netflix took off all my MST3K.
And I'm pissed at Australian wrestlers who still believe that the training that they received 10 years ago is still relevant and still can't fucking bump.
Okay, I want to hear the story behind this.
Oh, just go and watch this week's NXT. Keep an eye on a girl named Emma, who made her debut this week. Also known as Miss Tennille down here in Australia. You can still see extremely bad bumping. She still hasn't got her timing down, and the damn thing came off more like a fucking ballet recital than a wrestling match. I notice this with every Australian that goes over to the US and tries to work. They believe that there's the same shit that they get away with down here, including really bad bumping and not doing more than one particular style of bump, and they believe that they can still get over.
So wait, I'm curious. If she's Miss Tennille, where's the captain?
I have no fucking idea. Probably killed him.
By the way, I've been thinking that since last night. Anyway.
Does anybody else have any grievances they'd like to air?
Bad jokes.
I think we're good now.
Okay. Spug, pimp your shit.
Just another goddamn wrestling show, Wednesdays at 8:30.
Bravo. Bravo, Spug.
Hey, that's the show that Spug goes on for intelligent wrestling conversation. Which I'm sure is a complete compliment to those guys.
If you want to listen to whiny Mark's bitch about the wrestling business and be negative, Tuesday nights at 9 o'clock, Kayfabe Wrestling Radio.
Oh, wow. But this week it starts at 10 p.m. Eastern.
And I probably won't be here.
I know.
It's the wife's birthday, so...
Oh, happy birthday to the wife.
Yeah, he's made backup plans.
Yeah, I think the Digans or somebody's coming on. I don't know.
I think Scott Fishman's coming on the show.
Whoever, I don't care. They can suffer through what I've suffered through. Fuck them.
Wow.
Dickbags. You know what pisses me off? You know what? Uterine clot. Fuck those two.
Are you good?
Yeah, I'm done.
You good?
Okay. Omega, you have anything you'd like to pimp?
I could go somewhere where I want. TJOmega.org, TJOmega over on YouTube. Occasionally, I bitch about things for a long, long time.
And that's it?
What else do I do?
You tweet.
Well, aren't you on a show called WTR, and don't you have a Twitter and a Facebook?
They're all there.
I'll plug it for Omega when I go through my plugs.
Alright. Go.
Oh, okay. Fine. I don't know if there's a Johnny Cashmere wake-up call tomorrow. So, find out tomorrow at some point on the Facebooks and the Twitters. Because it airs at 9 p.m. Eastern on Friday nights. Just stay tuned. Saturday night, midnight, it's CBA Radio. It's a 5-year show. We will hear from Subway as he returns to the ring for IPW Hardcore Resurrection in St. Petersburg, Florida. All the Mojang's going to be there. So, it's going to be a good show. But yeah, go support somebody at IPW if you're in the St. Petersburg area. We'll hear all the stories on the show. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's Omega and Tim as Mesa's leaving us.
I don't know. I might make an appearance. If I can be persuaded to, I might come on.
So, how much begging do I have to do?
By the sounds
we'll
of it.
We'll talk about it after the show.
By the sounds of it, a lot.
Yeah.
Monday nights, the Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, as we cover Raw in about 45 minutes. As Swag mentioned, KFA Wrestling Radio every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern. It's 10 p.m. this week because of Alan has some sort of thing to do beforehand. I can't remember who he said the guest star, so I don't think he's announced them. So anyway, check it out. KFA Wrestling Radio.
Probably some indie guy from Florida and some indie guy from Florida and some indie guy from Florida.
Wednesday night, just another goddamn wrestling show, 8:30 p.m. Eastern. You can find Smuggle on there at times, and Cheap Wood Paddling. You can check out WTRF. The latest WTRF is out, featuring Mace. In action.
Yes.
You can find that on Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork or Twitter.com/WildTalkRadio. I'm good now.
Okay. Mace, would you like to say your goodbyes?
Yes. It gee, where to start this one? Fuck you, Tim Stein. Fuck you, Tim Stein. And fuck you, Tim Stein. You might have given me the opportunity, but we all know I'm way better than you.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Hi, Kid
Cat. Bang! Bang! Fucking bang!
To be honest, the real thank yous at this point in time have to first go to Omega and Spug, because let's face it, if they didn't let me on OTL, I would still be stuck on a fucking Go Nowhere show with Nick.
I remember that show.
And we all know that OTL is where I basically came out of my shell from being trying to be Mr. Professional to being the asshole you see before you. So,
which we're all
thank you, Spug. You have been a great mentor.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Omega, for spending my money.
Anytime.
Of course, Rock, for putting up with all of my shit, my many attempts to produce shows.
Target practice.
And there have been many.
Target practice.
Before I eventually learned how to produce myself and still managed to fuck up a show.
It's a work in progress.
Thank you to anybody and everybody who has listened over the past couple of years I've been a part of this network. Thank you to Alan Wojcik for giving me so many great naps between shows. No, in all honesty, I've got nothing against Alan. It's just that we do have issues with the direction of the show and not having much input. Input, right, Spug?
Yep.
And of course, finally, I must also thank Lindsay for bringing me on the rack. And even though I was never an official part of the show, I somehow got roped into it almost every Friday. Well, Thursday night. So it goes to show with a great enough rack, you can get a guy to come anywhere.
Yep.
Bada bum.
That's what she said.
As much as this is my official last show on the network, you know, there's always weekends when I might pop up on CB radio, or I might throw on the Twitch TV player of a weekend and stream a game and just call people at random. I shall never be far from this network, whether it be via a recorded message that strikes up a conversation in exact perfect timing.
I expect
or
that
whether
to
I'm
hap-
just setting it
I,
in ex- it.
I expect that to happen in a week.
Yeah, we have a bet. We have a pool.
Yeah, we do.
Give me time to get acclimatized to this new job first, then we'll see how we go.
I still say it's a week before you hear something. You're going to go a week through full programming, and you're going to want to say something. And we know what you're going to react to first. So, yeah.
We have a plan.
As far as I might be from being live on this network, I shall never be gone. Because let's face it, I'm like a fucking virus. You can never get rid of me.
And I'm too lazy to, you know, change intros.
That too. My quotes will remain, thank you very much.
Until I get around to changing them in about 6 months. Sort of like an OTL intro, it takes forever.
Yeah.
So I swear I'm still working on the new intro.
So in the end, my final words, fuck you, Tim, I'm still better than you.
Oh, jeez.
Good night, everybody.
By the way, you can find us on iTunes, Twitch, Stitcher app, and TuneIn app. Just all search out Wild Talk Radio Network.
And you can find me at Lynn's Ward on Twitter, at psychwardesigns.com, castyreilly.net, go buy his stuff, and lynnsward.deviantart.com. So, for PW Mania, for Tweaked Audio, for Rock, Mace, Omega, and Spug, I'm Lindsay Ward, and you've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye! So fucking jaded, 'cause I'm-